an old saying that what's old is new again. And what used to be a classic rivalry went away in the early 1970s. But now, 40 years later, it's new again. But ask anyone from back in the day, and they'll say that this is no ordinary rivalry renewed. This is Coleman Decatur, and tonight, this is where the road to the playoffs start. This is the night that you practice for. This is what your hometown is coming to see. This is why the lights are on and the bands are playing. This is the spotlight you've dreamed about. This is Friday Night Live. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, by Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, Fuller Optical, AK Rentals, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware. Hello again, everybody. Tommy Warhurst from Oliver Woodard Stadium on the campus of Coleman High School for Friday Night Live. And boy, have we got a dandy for you tonight. The Coleman Bearcats hosting the Decatur Red Raiders in a key 6A Region 8 contest. The Bearcats come into tonight 4-3, 2-2 in the region, while Decatur is 5-2 overall, 3-1 in the region. Last week, the Bearcats suffered a big defeat at the hands of Hartsell, 28-0, and the Decatur Red Raiders are reeling from an upset last week, 10-7 at the hands of Muscle Shoals. The series between Coleman and Decatur goes all the way back to 1922, and Decatur holds the winning edge at 31-14, and there have been two ties. Up until 1974, these two teams met year after year in a fierce rivalry on the gridiron. After the 74 season, Decatur moved to Class 6A, and since that time, the Bearcats and the Red Raiders have only met three times, twice in the regular season in 1986 and 87, and once in the playoffs in 2007. Despite all those big games from the past, perhaps there's none bigger than tonight's game. At least for the Bearcats, this is where their start to making their 10th straight playoff appearance starts. And time to bring in my partner, Jason Coretti, for more on the Bearcats and the Red Raiders. And Jason, this is definitely a big night for the Bearcats.
Yes, it's a big night. Like you said, tonight's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, for Coleman. They're going to have to treat this like a playoff game tonight. And as Tommy mentioned, tonight is the 48th meeting of Coleman and Decatur. The last time these two met was in November of 2007, as mentioned. It was a meeting of two teams vying to win a state championship, and Coleman walked away the victor of that third-round playoff win, 42-32. Now, Tommy, this group of seniors was merely fifth graders, but I'm certain the fans of Decatur are all well aware of that stinging loss to the Bearcat just 7 years ago. And I'm positive Coach Jerry Adcock remembers it. Coach Adcock's in his 18th year of head coaching and boasts a record of 136-71 at a 66% winning percentage. Decatur is a perennial winning football program. They ranked 10th and 6A in winning percentage over the last 25 years. Last season, the Red Raiders made the playoffs by finishing fourth in the region, but fell to Vestavia Hills in the first round of the playoffs, 38-14. Coach Britton led this Bearcat team into the playoffs last season as well. As Tommy mentioned, they're looking for their 10th straight year. Playing in 5A Region 8 last season, the Bearcats finished second with a record of 6-1, falling to Gadsden in the second round, 28-21. This season, the Bearcats are poised to get back into the playoffs, but they've got a few hurdles standing in their way. Next few games, including tonight's contest, are all going to be considered as important as a playoff game. They're sitting tied for fourth with Hartsell in the region, and Hartsell holds the tiebreaker as the Bearcats fell hard last week at Hartsell, 28-0. But hey, as Coach Britton always says, hey, buddy boy, they're all important. And if you know Coach Britton, you'll know how funny that sounds sometimes. Simply stated, if the Bearcats keep winning, they're in. Lose, and you're going to have to see how the rest of the region plays out. Decatur has Florence at home next week as the Bearcats will be traveling to Muscle Shoals to finish region play before returning Halloween night to face an out-of-region Russellville team, see if they can spook out another win. I love the puns. Tommy, I mentioned this is the 48th meeting tonight, and Coleman and Decatur, they, like you said, they started playing back in 1922. They were regulars on each other's schedule up until, as you mentioned, the mid-70s. And now that Coleman has made that jump to 6A, these two will certainly be seeing a lot of each other over the next couple of seasons. We've got a great one on the field here tonight at Oliver Woodard Stadium, as well as plenty of other regional action. Hartsell is at Florence, Athens is at Austin, and Muscle Shoals is taking a break. licking their chops for next week when we roll into town with the Bearcats. So we also have a host of Coleman County games as well. Cold Springs is at Summerton Christian. Fairview is at Douglas. Good Hope hosts DAR. Hansville has Holly Pond at home. Vinemont hosts Susan Moore, and West Point travels to East Limestone. We'll bring you those scores as they start to come in, as well as a full SEC rundown at the half. So it looks like we're in for a doozy tonight, Tommy, as you mentioned. It doesn't get any bigger than this for the Bearcats. You know, Decatur, even though they lost last week, they're in a position where they can still give up a game and still be in there. They're sitting in second place right now. In the region, Coleman, like I mentioned, tied with the Hartsel at fourth. And, you know, that fourth place, that's where the fall off point.
That's the one. And the Bearcats, like you mentioned, Jason, their backs are against the wall. If they want to make the playoffs, they've got to win tonight. If they were to drop this game, they've got to have a lot of help from some other folks in the Wild region. We'll continue our pregame show. We'll have a chat with Coach Mark Britton when we come back. You're listening to Friday Night Live on Coleman's Live 95.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance agent.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Mark Britton, head coach of the Coleman Bearcats, joins us now. Coach, first of all, thanks for taking time to join us.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
You can call it the curse of J.P. Kane Stadium. You can call it that the Bearcats may have got some bad calls. But in reality, it boils down to you really can't turn the ball over four times and expect to win, much less against a very good football team.
No, that's exactly right. We had too many turnovers, and we had some blown assignments. And, you know, you play against a quality program, which we're going to play week in, week out, you're not going to be successful. You know, our kids know that, and you know, it was just unfortunate. We definitely had a good week of practice, and but coaches, kids, everybody, we kind of left there disappointed with our performance. And you know, our football players, these young guys are very resilient. We bounced back pretty good and came in Sunday, had a good film session. We've had a good week of preparation for Decatur. And, you know, that's the good thing about it. We're excited to get back on the football field. That's the biggest thing for us, is just getting back to playing and practicing. And so we've got a good week this week. You know, the young people, they kind of put that stuff behind them. I think coaches, we dwell on it more than the kids do. But it's been a great week of practice, and we've got another, you know, just tremendous opponent in Decatur.
Well, you mentioned that a couple of weeks ago, that moving to Class 6A week in and week out, you've got to bring your best game because there's not going to be any down weeks. And the Bearcats have made the playoffs the last nine seasons in a row, and your winning percentage as a coach is among the best in the state. Making a 10th straight playoff appearance really kind of starts tonight, the next two region games. Talk about the importance of this game as it relates to the playoffs and how you've stressed that to the players but done that without making them feel uptight.
Well, it is. And you know, our kids know the standing. There's basically three teams that are trying to fight for two spots. And Decatur is in the playoffs, regardless of what happens their last two games. You know, Muscle Shoals is probably got the lead on us and Hartsel. And so, you know, there's three teams vying for two spots. And right now, we kind of control our fate if we will win on the football field. But if we lose one of these last two region games, then we're going to need some help to get in. And, you know, it's not something we really want to do. We want to kind of take care of business ourselves, and you know, we don't want to back into the playoffs. We want to go in there and kind of take charge. And it really all starts tonight.
Well, and Decatur comes in tonight. They suffered their first region loss last week to Muscle Shoals in a game that, and when you talk to either one of those folks, neither one of them said that game turned out the way they thought it would. A really low scoring game. Decatur had a penalty as the first half came to an end and allowed Muscle Shoals to kick a field goal. Muscle Shoals won 10-7, no points scored in the second half. I know you've studied the Red Raiders on film. What do you expect to see from that scrappy defensive bunch?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. They've got a tremendous defense. They've got great team speed on that side of the ball. They've got veterans, sideline to sideline. And I expect for us to win, we're going to have to limit their offense and play, more assignment type football. We got behind the chain several times last week, whether that be a loss of yards on first down or a penalty on first down. Seemed like we were in second and 15, third and 8 or better several times, and it's just hard to be consistent and put on drives when you get in those situations. So we've concentrated on first down plays this week, tried to get off on a good start, move the chains. One of the things, our overall team speed generally does not match up well with our opponents in this region. So a great play for us, is 8, 10, 15 yards, where a great play for some of our opponents may be 6 points. So our guys got to be patient, and we've got to put several plays together to have a successful drive. And our guys, we buy into that, and we're working extremely hard for that. It's just when we have a penalty, whether it be holding or we have a loss of downs or something like that, it's just difficult to overcome.
Right. Over the last few weeks, the Bearcats have been nursing some minor nicks and bruises or sprains. How are the guys health-wise?
Well, we've had some injuries. Overall, I think we're pretty good. Will Crenshaw, the run back, he's beat up a little bit from the constant pounding from week to week, but he's ready to go. And Ben Johnson is closer to being full speed, my left tackle. I've got linebackers like Connor Moon he's nursing a hamstring pull and has been limited the last couple of weeks. So we've had several key guys that have been banged up, and it probably has affected a little bit of the results out there, but all these guys are definitely playing through these nagging injuries, and they'll be ready to go Friday night.
Coach, what you going to take for the Bearcats to be victorious tonight?
Well, we're going to take care of the football, and I think that we're going to need a low-scoring game. Our defense is going to have to really step up, as we've asked them to do week in, week out. Offensively, we're going to have to put, I think if you can put 21 points on the board tonight, either team can put 21 points on the board, you've got a good chance of winning this ball game tonight. Both defenses are a little bit ahead of their offenses, and it's going to be a tough ball game. I think turnovers and special teams are going to play a key role in tonight's game. So hopefully things will bounce our way. And we expect a very physical game out of Decatur. You're going to have that every time. But Coach Adcock and his staff do a super job. Jerry's been there a long time and been very, very successful. So he's going to bring a crew in that's well coached and very disciplined. So it'll be an outstanding game tonight.
Yes, we're excited about it. It should be. And, Coach, best of luck tonight. Thanks for taking time to join us.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Our national anthem is performed by the Coleman High School Bearcat Marching Band. We're getting closer and closer to kickoff between the Coleman Bearcats and the Decatur Red Raiders. Time to take a look at tonight's starting lineups. First, for the visiting Red Raiders of Decatur, coached by Jerry Adcock in his 19th season, his overall record 136-71. On the offensive line, 6'4", 275 pounds and a junior, number 72, Ben Berry. 5'11", 240 pounds and a junior, number 62, Robert Frazier. 5'11", 225 and a junior, number 58 is Luke Truitt. 5'11", 255 and a junior, number 68, Edgar Godinez. Also on the offensive line, 6'1", 215 pounds and a junior, number 71, Carlos Emerson. At tight end, 6', 185 pounds and a senior, number 19, Quentin Duper. At flanker, 5'10", 165 and a senior, number 7, Devin Sanders. Also at a flanker, 6'2", 185 and a senior. Number 47 is Jack Underwood. In the backfield, the running backs, 5'11", 175 pounds and a senior, number 21, Tay Hayes, and number 13, who's 5'11", 200 pounds and a junior, his name is Scott Littrell. The quarterback for the Decatur Red Raiders, 5'11", 185 pounds and a junior, number 12, Griffin McCollum. Now the starting lineups for the Coleman Bearcats. On the offensive line, 6'4", 280 pounds and a senior, number 53, Ben Johnson. 6'3", 280 pounds and a freshman, number 61, Tyler Nunley. 6'2", 315 pounds and a senior, number 65 is Daniel Hunter. 6'1", 240 pounds and a junior, wearing number 70 is Justin Butts. At 6'3", 230 pounds and a senior, number 77 is Jacob Mills. The receivers, wearing number 8, 5'11", 180 pounds and a senior, that's Seth Donaldson. 5'11", 190 pounds and a senior, number 20 is Mason Goodwin. At 6'4", 205 pounds and a sophomore, number 1, Owen Lovell. And 5'9", 160 pounds and a sophomore, number 12, Dawson Drake. The running back, 5'10", 175 pounds and a senior, number 33 is Will Crenshaw. And the quarterback for the Bearcats, 5'9", 185 pounds and a sophomore, number 11 is Ross Crocker.
Well, that's a mouthful, Tommy.
That's 22 guys.
That's a bigger mouthful than this bag of peanuts we got over here. Hey, you know, you mentioned these guys, you call out the starting lineups, but I will tell you, Coleman's defense needs to corral this offense for Decatur tonight, because I tell you, I was sitting there, we were getting our equipment set up, looking out across the field, watching these guys warm up. And let me tell you, folks, Decatur has got a kicker. This kid, number 97, Francisco Tirado, he was knocking them down from 50-plus yards. They get across the 50-yard line, and Tirado's, he's going to put it through the uprights. He's very accurate. He's got good distance. And look for him to play a big part in this game tonight if they can't get their offense going against Coleman's defense. Also, you look over on the other side of the Decatur defense, you've got number 33, Cameron Elliott, number 35, Trey Hayes, and number 98, Michael Sharpley. We're going to be calling those guys' names a lot. They're some scrappy guys. You got a little background history on number 35 there.
I started to say, you talk about Hayes. Tonight, you're going to hear us, and you might think we're mispronouncing a name. We have a Trey Hayes and a Tay Hayes. They're twin brothers. Trey Hayes, who wear number 35 tonight, he's been starting at linebacker for the Decatur Red Raiders since he was in the eighth grade. 6 foot tall, 225 pounds. He will be a beast on defense for the Red Raiders tonight.
Well, it's not a surprise that you have some good linebackers that come out of Decatur area. I've got a list here in my hand, and these are some of the latest players to come out of Decatur area that played very substantial careers in the NFL. You've got Tay Biddle. He was a wide receiver. He played for Ole Miss, and then he went on to play for Carolina from 06 to 07. And then all you Alabama fans remember this guy, Rolando McClain, middle linebacker, played at Alabama, and then he had a brief stint with Oakland in 2010. And all my Auburn fans, y'all remember the name Gerard Powers. He played there at Decatur, cornerback for Auburn, went on to play for the Indianapolis Colts. So this program's known for churning out some good players. Looks like Decatur is going to be kicking off to Coleman. Looks like Coleman won the toss, elected to receive. Back deep, we've got number 2, Bronte Harris. And I believe that's number 19 back to receive, Caden Wynn.
And Bronte Harris takes it at the 2, out to the 10, hole 15, 20, 25, and out to the 27-yard line is Bronte Harris. So that's where the Bearcats will put it in play. They'll be working toward the south end of Oliver Woodard Stadium, working left to right as you listen tonight. The Bearcats dressed in their home black jerseys, white numerals, black trousers, and black hats with a gold Bearcat paw on the side. The visiting Decatur Red Raiders kind of look like the Georgia Bulldogs. White jerseys, black numerals outlined in red, gray trousers with a red, white, and black stripe, red hats with a black D on the side. On first down and 10 from the 27-yard line, Ross Crocker brings the Bearcats to the line. He has two receivers split to either side. Crenshaw, the lone back. Crenshaw gets the handoff. He's got a hold across the 30 and hammered hard right about the 31-yard line. That's Quentin Duper making the first stick for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, Crenshaw came to the near side of the field. He cut it back up in the middle because the defensive end from his side had kind of skated out and closed off the hole. He cuts it back up inside, and boom, there's number 19, big old Quentin Duper. He's a 6-foot tall senior, weighs in at about 175 pounds, but he tackles a lot heavier.
Second down and 4 for the Bearcats. Crocker wants to throw, and this one's batted down. It'll be incomplete. It looked like John Reel is the one that got a paw on it for the Red Raiders.
Yeah. He was, what he tried to do, he backed up into the pocket there, and he turned like he was going to throw to the far side of the field. He had Lance Donaldson on this side of the field, and Lane Donaldson. I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Lane. Anyway, he was going to try to catch him, and it looks like the defender just come up and batted the ball away. Brings up third down and 5.
On third and 5, Crocker to throw again. Throws out in the flat to Crenshaw. Crenshaw's at the 31, runs forward, fighting out to about the 33-yard line. He's still going to be a couple of yards short of a first down, but a good pitch and catch from Crocker to Crenshaw.
Crenshaw came out of the backfield on like a little bit of a wheel route, and the ball was thrown just a hair behind him. Had he thrown it out in front of him, he could have caught it and ran with it, and he'd have been down the field, but he had to turn around and catch the football, and which sets up fourth down and 3. Looks like they're going to punt, or they're going to go for it. It's kind of an odd formation.
Bearcats will punt it away. Dalton Yerby kicks a low kick. Oh, my goodness. It's not a good one either, folks. It rolls out of bounds about the 46-yard line of the Bearcats. Only about a 12- to 14-yard punt. He had to kind of rush it because he was close to the line, and he kicked a low squibber that went out of bounds at the Bearcat 47-yard line. So now the Decatur Red Raiders are going to be taking over inside Bearcat territory.
I don't understand that one, Tommy. He was always set up in like where the quarterback would be set up in a shotgun formation. That's why I couldn't tell if he was going to run a play or what they were going to do. But he did. He kicked it off the side of his foot. It squiggled out of bounds about the 47-yard line on the far side of the field.
First and 10 for Decatur now. Slot to the near side. I formation behind their quarterback, McCollum. And they just run it straight up the middle, fighting down to about the 45-yard line, just straight ahead running. From number 13, Scott Littrell.
Yeah, Scott Littrell is hard running that time. He's able to pick up about 2 or 3 yards there. Like you said, he was almost tackled in the backfield. Can't remember, see who that was. That was number 7, Brandon Calvert, had him almost wrapped up in the backfield. And he was able to squirt away there and pick up a few yards on the first down. Sets up second down and 8 here on the 45-yard line of corner.
Receiver split to either side now, kind of an offset eye behind McCollum. McCollum wants to throw, fires complete at the 30-yard line. That's Quentin Duper is tied in. Duper's got a Red Raider first down and more all the way down to the Bearcat 30-yard line.
Duper went on just a straight route down the field and cut it out to about the numbers where he got the ball and was hit hard there by a host of Coleman Bearcats. They got a flag down on the far side of the field. I'm not sure what it's going to be. It looks like it's against Coleman because they're marking it off up in that direction. So they give us a little bit of a description here. Referee standing out there. They've marked the penalty off, but they haven't given an indication of actually what it was. Now they're going to keep marking it off. It was a spot foul. I believe it was whatever. They are even the announcer's getting onto the referee.
They marked off 5 yards with no indication what the penalty was. Either way, it is 1st and 10 for the Red Raiders now from the Bearcat 23-yard line. Hand off to Littrell. Littrell's turning the right corner. He picks up good yardage all the way down to about the 18-yard line.
Yeah, Littrell that time went off right tackle, followed the block of his big end over on that other side and just kind of tucked the ball in behind the big guys and fell forward and picks up about 5 yards. Going to be 2nd down and 5 here on the 18-yard line with 9:33 to go here in the first quarter. Clock's ticking away.
2nd down and 5 for Decatur now. We've got a lot of movement both on the offensive and defensive side of the ball. Not sure who they'll flag this one on, but both sides kind of jumping, trying to get a head start.
We've got offensive linemen on the far side of the field. They move, so they're going to back them up. So that'll bring up 2nd down and 10 now. Red Raiders will be moved outside the red zone here. give them a little bit more room to think about what they're going to do to try to score. Maybe this Bearcat defense is going to rise up. We talked about that Bearcat defense earlier. You got number 24, Sam Calagaris, number 26, Connor Moon, number 3, Ethan McMahon, number 5, Chase Locum, and number 2, Bronte Harris. We will be calling their name ad nauseum tonight because those men are some good football players.
Second down and 10 for the Red Raiders now. From the Bearcat 23-yard line, straight ahead running to Littrell. Littrell gets down to about the 21-yard line, pickup of about 2 yards. Clock still rolling now, just inside 9 minutes left in the first quarter. No score between the Bearcats and the Red Raiders.
Littrell that time, like Tommy said, he just takes it right up the middle of the field. They're on the far hash, the far side of the field, and he just runs right in behind his big old tackle there, falls forward and picks up 2 yards. He's going to have third down and 8. And as I mentioned before, the location of the field they're at, they get anywhere inside 40 yards, and Francisco Tirada is going to be deadly with
on third and 8, McCollum wants to throw. The Bearcats are pressuring him, and they're going to sack him back at the 25-yard line. Good pressure from the Bearcats. There were two or three of them all around him. Yeah, they were able to get him down right about the 25-yard line.
There were a host of Coleman players there, but the first one to get to him, number 58, Will Blaylock, 5'8", 225 junior. And he was the first one to meet Mr. McCollum back there in the hole. And as I mentioned before, here's old Mr. Tirada. He's going to skate out. He's right set up right in the middle of the field for this field goal attempt.
They'll spot it down at the 32. It's a 42-yarder. Tirado's got it up, and he's got it right down the middle. Wow.
42-yarder right down the middle. That would have been good from 52.
So Tirado puts the Red Raiders on the board 3-0 with 7:53 left in the first quarter. Special thanks to the folks who make Friday Night Live possible each and every Friday night. They are Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, AK Rentals, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware, proud sponsors of Friday Night Live each and every Friday night here on Coleman's Live 95. And if you like high school football, you're going to love Sports Talk Live each and every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 4 until 6. Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel will talk high school sports, college, professional, and even fishing on your local lakes with Rex Chandler each and every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. It's Sports Talk Live from 4 until 6 right here on Coleman's Live 95.
I think those guys could talk about anything.
They could talk about curling.
Anything. I mean, and they work so well together because it's almost just like two old guys sitting on the front porch just shooting the breeze, man. It's a good show, though. Check them out. Coleman's going to come back out now. They've got number 2, Bronte Harris, and number 19, Caden Wynn, back to receive the kickoff here. Number 97, Francisco Tirada, kicks it off, and
it's a short squib kick, and the Bearcats are running away from it, and the Red Raiders have recovered the onside kick and run it all the way down to the 25-yard line.
Wow, number 19 that time for Decatur, Quentin Duper. He came out of nowhere, snatched that ball out of the guy's hands, and just took off down the field. And Decatur has surprised them here and jumped out with an onside kick here so early in the game.
Well, what they can't advance the ball down to the 25. They marked the football down at the 41-yard line. But, folks, it happened literally in a split second. Decatur kicked off a onside kick, and it's almost like the front line of the Bearcats were backing up, waiting for the ball to go 10 yards. And as soon as it went 10 yards, the Red Raiders picked it up. And they're back in business again. The Bearcats have got to fall on that football. The same thing happened to Athens a couple of weeks ago here when Coleman was kicking off to Athens. It was kind of the same thing, but on the part of the Bearcats this time. On first and 10, the Red Raiders run straight ahead to Littrell. Littrell gets down to about the 36-yard line, just straight ahead running for about 5 yards for Decatur.
Decatur's not going to do anything fancy tonight. They're just going to line up and run the football. They're going to throw the football around some, but they run more of a pro-style look than say, the what you're used to seeing with the Coleman Bearcats. They don't spread it out a lot. They usually run 2 wide receivers. They'll have a tight end, a fullback, and a tailback. And just as soon as I say that, what do? They throw them out with 3 wide receivers and spread the field.
2 receivers to the far side, 1 to the near side. They hand it off straight up the middle to Terry Green, and Green runs down to near the 33-yard line. Pickup of about 2 yards. Be 3rd down and 3 for Decatur now.
Decatur Red Raiders, they're just running it right down the middle. Coleman's going to have to shear up this defensive front here and try to stop these guys. They're picking up good chunks of yardage every time they touch the football. Seems like the only time they get in trouble is when they try to pass and Coleman gets a good rush on the quarterback.
On third down and two, a hard snap count from Griffin McCollum, the quarterback for the Red Raiders, and I think he was able to draw one of the Bearcats offsides.
Yeah, he did, definitely. Got some hats off down here on the sidelines for Coleman. Got some coaching staff that's not very happy. You get caught like this in a situation where you already have backed yourself up into a hole. You're down 3-0. You give up the onside kick. Then you go down and you commit a dumb penalty and get moved back even further. Now the Red Raiders are inside the 30, first and 10 from the 28-yard line. And, you know, Coleman can't have turnovers and they can't have penalties and mistakes like last week. But it's the same results are going to happen.
Griffin McCollum from the shotgun has a low snap, picks it up, and just runs straight ahead down to the 21-yard line. Just like he just squirted through the line of scrimmage and there was nobody there to hit him, he actually tripped himself up at the 21.
Yeah, Turf Monster caught him at the 21-yard line and down he goes. And let's see, did I see Trey Hayes come in that time and run a little offense?
Second down and three. Now for the Red Raiders. From the shotgun again, McCollum going to keep it himself, running straight ahead and dives forward down to about the 16-yard line. He is going to be very close to a Red Raider first down.
Tommy, that is actually number two. That's the sophomore quarterback. He's checked in for McCollum. McCollum's over on the sideline right now. The young quarterback, he's a 5'10", 185 sophomore, Alec Marks. He's checked in. Like I said, I don't know if McCollum has had to go off the field for a certain reason, but they definitely have the younger of the two quarterbacks in right now.
So Marks wears 2, McCollum wears 12. And Marks will be the quarterback now from the shotgun. Motion to the far side of the field. Marks is going to keep it again, kind of in the Bearcat formation, and he only gets down to about the 18-yard line.
Yeah, that time they were trying to run a little stretch play, fake the handoff over to number 21 that time, Tay Hayes, as he streaked across the field. But number 7, Justin Patterson, was having none of it. He wrapped him up and dropped him for a loss of 2 on that play.
Be second down and 12 now for Decatur. Ball resting on the Bearcat 18-yard line. 5 minutes left in the opening quarter. Decatur with a 3-0 lead off the foot of Francisco Torado on a 42-yard field goal. On second down and 12, Marks is going to keep it on a quarterback keeper again, and he might get back to the original line of scrimmage. Good pursuit that time by the Bearcat defense. It looked like 42. Garrett Cornelius leading the charge.
Yeah, there was a host of players over there. Bronte Harris and Garrett Cornelius were both in on that tackle as he tried to stretch it out to the right, and he just barely got across the line of scrimmage there. Picks up, it's 3rd and 11 now from the 17. And you notice Decatur doesn't, they don't really hurry up to the line. They build a lead. They're just gonna play control the football, power football, and they're not getting in a hurry about anything out here on the field. They huddle up, they let this play clock run all the way down to 2-1. Now they're going to call a timeout. But they try to play a lot of ball control.
Timeout.
Get a lead and just eat the clock up.
Very methodical and kind of some of the old school offense that you used to see from back in the day. And, of course, Jerry Adcock's been at Decatur for 19 years. He's kind of an old school coach. And just like you said earlier, they come out in your traditional pro-style offense, a slot or split receivers and an eye backfield, and they'll line up under center or line up in a shotgun. And that's what we've seen so far tonight in the first half.
Yeah, like Tommy mentioned, they just kind of run just your typical, almost like a pro style offense. What you see more like out of like what type of offense that Alabama runs? You know, they don't really, you know, try to do anything real fancy. They pound you, and when they pound you enough that you give up on the run, they throw the long ball over your head and run you out of the stadium. When Coleman gets the ball back, what they're going to need to do is they're going to have to get behind the big offensive linemen of Ben Johnson, Tyler Nunley, Daniel Hunter, Justin Butts, and Jacob Mills, and let those guys do some bulldozing up front and get Will Crenshaw, Ross Crocker. Now let them get into that second wave of defenders, pick up some yardage, move these chains, and play a little ball control themselves.
Third down and 12 now for Decatur. McCollum, back-ended quarterback, throws for the end zone. A one-handed attempt at a catch falls incomplete. Good coverage on the outside by the Bearcats.
Yeah, Dalton Yerby had some great coverage over there on number 21, Tay Hayes. And he just went up and tried to catch the football. And when he did, he bounced it up in the air. And he's very lucky that Dalton Yerby didn't come down with that football because it just hung up there like he was playing volleyball.
Francisco Torada comes back on to attempt a 35-yard field goal from the far hash mark.
Snap is good. Place is down. Kick is up. And this one is good as well. So with 4 minutes, 10 seconds left in the opening quarter, the Decatur Red Raiders have a 6-0 lead over the Coleman Bearcats off the foot of Francisco Tirado.
Francisco Tirado. I tell you what, folks, you better get ready to start hearing that name called out because he's already a Division I prospect. And the way he can kick now, he's just a junior. No, I'm sorry. He is a senior. He's a senior, 6 foot tall. I mean, they don't list his weight, but he probably don't go about 140 pounds. He's kind of a skinny guy, but, man, he can put the wood in that ball when he kicks it. Tommy mentioned it's 6-0 here midway through the first quarter.
And from around the county, West Point and East Limestone tied at 7 in the first quarter. Addison leads Tarrant 7-6 with 8:35 left in the first. And Hansville leads Holly Pond 7-0 with about halfway through the first quarter there. We'll try to keep you updated throughout the night, especially on the 6A Region 8 games that play a part in the Bearcats' future tonight. Francisco Tirado will kick it away now. Back to receive for the Bearcats. Bronte Harris standing at about his own 5-yard line, flanked over there by Caden Wynn. Harris will take it at the 7, back to the 10, 15, 20, 25, and squirts forward to about the 27-yard line. So that's where the Bearcats will put it in play, 1st and 10 from their own 27-yard line. 4 minutes left in the opening quarter. It's 6-0 Decatur over the Bearcats.
Bronte Harris coming up the field that time. He got back out to the 26-yard line, but he ran into a couple of his own players. And then when he bounced to the outside, there was three or four of the Red Raiders just waiting on him, chomped him down at the 26-yard line. That's where Coleman's offense is going to take off here from the 26-yard line. 1st and 10 with 4-1 to go in the first, trailing the Decatur Red Raiders 6-0.
On 1st and 10, the Bearcats run straight ahead up for about 2 yards, up to right about the 24-yard line. They'll operate no huddle. Ross Crocker calling the signals, flanked by Will Crenshaw. And there's two receivers split to either side now as the Bearcats work from left to right toward the south end of the field. Hand off to Dawson Drake, turning the far corner. Drake gets hammered right about the 30-yard line, and he's going to be knocked down there. A big stick made by the Decatur defense on the far side.
That was number 10 for Decatur, Terry Green. He came up. Dawson Drake went across the field. He was trying to run a stretch play and get outside the numbers over there so he could turn it up. But Terry Green met him there at the numbers and just dropped him. Actually, he picked up about they marked him no gain, so it's 3rd down and 8.
3rd and 8 for the Bearcats now. Toss across the middle, batted down. He was trying to hit Owen Lovell right about the 35-yard line. That pass was batted down at the line of scrimmage. So now it's going to be 4th down and long for the Bearcats.
Yeah, Lovell was wide open that time. Just one of the big defensive linemen stuck a hand up in the air. And I believe, if we're not mistaken, that was big old number 98, Michael Sharpley. He got his hand up there and batted the ball away. But had he not got his hand up there, I think Owen Lovell would still be running.
Dalton Yerby in punt formation again. And, folks, he's only 7 yards deep. And he's able to get this one away, kind of a knuckleball kick that hits at the Red Raider 40, bounces down to the 35, picked up and run back to the 40, 45, 47, and knocked down about the 47-yard line.
Yeah, number 11, Jalen Stevenson. Now the flags come out. They got a little pushing and shoving, maybe a little talking that might not be exactly inviting somebody over for Halloween candy, but a little jawing.
There were flags flying in from all different directions that time at the end of the play.
looked like a bombing raid or something. There were so many flags coming in. But, Jalen Stevenson had a decent return that time before. He was met by a host of Coleman Bearcat tacklers there. And looks like they're going to call this against Decatur.
An unsportsmanlike penalty against the Decatur Red Raiders. The flag is at the 43-yard line.
Trot them all the way back to the 32-yard line there. So they marked off 15 yards for unsportsmanlike penalty. That's where Decatur. That's just funny how that rhymes. The Decatur Red Raiders. Anyway, the Decatur Red Raider offense will take over here on the 32-yard line. 1st and 10 with 2:51 to go in the first. Up 6-0 over the Coleman Bearcats.
They'll have a slot to the far side, one receiver to the near side as they work from right to left. McCollum back in at quarterback. He's going to keep it, tries to squirt around the right side, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's all it's going to be doing there. Two or three Bearcats in there to hit him right about the line of scrimmage. It looked like the first one there was number 24, Sam Calagaris.
Sam Calagaris kind of knocked him off of his edge there, and when he did, Justin Patterson came and cleaned him up, dropped him for about a half-yard loss. He's right behind the 32-yard line on the near hash as they come out second down. And it says 10 on the scoreboard. I'm going to call it 10 and a half.
From the 32-yard line, McCollum fakes a handoff, fires on the near side for his receiver, and it's dropped. He was trying to hit Scott Littrell on the near sideline, hit Littrell right in the hands, but good coverage from the Bearcats on the play.
Well, I'll tell you what caused him to have to rush that throw, and the reason he might have dropped the ball is because number 7, Patterson, was just coming on. He was bringing the pain that time. He came around the end and rushed McCollum, and when he did, he had to deliver the ball a little soon, and Littrell just dropped it. Ball still resting at the 32-yard line. Decatur working right to left as you listen here live, and set up on the near hash with third down and 10.
Slot to the far side, one receiver to the near side. McCollum, the quarterback, in the shotgun. Hands off to his lone running back. That's number 1, Tyree Buchanan. And Buchanan gets out to right about the 39-yard line. He'll be short of a first down, but he picks up good yardage all the way out to the 39. It'll be third down and about 4 now.
See, they're going to
actually be fourth down and 4. I'm sorry.
Fourth down and 4. And it looks like they're changing personnel. They don't just bring in a punter. They change the whole team. They've got a 99-man roster across the way. Coleman's got 107 on their roster. But and there's a lot of kids on both sidelines down here tonight, that's for sure.
Number 12, Griffin McCollum, drops back in punt formation. And this is a typical punt formation where the punter is about 14 yards deep, where opposed to what the Bearcats ran, he's only 7 yards deep, and they fake it. The Decatur Red Raiders fake it. Tay Hayes has the first down and more into Bearcat territory, 45-40. Sprinting ahead to the 30, still on his feet, dancing at the 25, breaking tackles at the 20, down to the 15, to the 10, running for the goal line and pushed out of bounds at the 4-yard line is Tay Hayes. It was fourth down and 4 from the 39-yard line, and now it's first down and goal for the Decatur Red Raiders at the Bearcat 7-yard line.
57 yards that time he goes, and wow, a little fake. He just came around the end. They were lined up on the near hash mark, and they hiked it directly to the up back. When he did, he followed the two up backs right behind the line of scrimmage. He followed them around the corner. When he broke into open territory, he cut it back across the field and went out of bounds. They got him marked about the 7-yard line.
It looked like he was inside the 5 from the angle, but they said he stepped out of bounds about the 7. And it's obvious that Jerry Atcott doesn't want the football in the hands of the Bearcats. He's had an onside kick tonight. Now he's faked a punt. He wants to control the football and control this ball game with his offense. Hand off to 35. That's Trey Hayes barreling forward down to right about the 5-yard line.
Yeah, Tay Hayes got him down inside the 10-yard line, and Trey Hayes trying to finish it off. Took a couple of twins there, as Tommy mentioned in the pre-broadcast. Both these guys are some excellent football players, probably going to be playing some college ball not in the near future. Number 35, as Tommy mentioned, been starting linebacker since the 8th grade on the varsity team. So, ball resting on the 5-yard line. It's second down and goal from the 5. And they're just letting this clock tick away. Hold on to the football. Don't let the Bearcats have it. And use up every bit of the play clock before they snap the football.
And they do. They work the play clock down to 3 seconds. They toss it back this time, trying to turn a corner. It's Trey Green. And Trey Green gets into the end zone for the Decatur Red Raider touchdown from 4 yards out.
Yeah, Green just came, stretched the football all the way from the far side. Ball resting on the hash on the far. He goes through the end zone right here at the pylon on the corner, stretched it all the way across the field, just picked up hard 5 yards that time, was number 10, Terry Green.
Green just on a simple, like Jason mentioned, just a simple sweep to the near sideline, got into the end zone untouched, and now Francisco Torrado comes on for the extra point. He's automatic. That was right down the middle and good. So with 48.9 seconds left in the opening quarter, the Decatur Red Raiders have opened up a 13-0 lead over the Coleman Bearcats, and they've done it off a good drive to open up the ball game and a field goal from Torrado. Then on the ensuing kickoff, the Red Raiders kicked a squib onside kick, and the Bearcats just kind of froze and backed away from it. And the Red Raiders picked it up and ran it all the way down they were able to capture on another field goal that time from Toronto. And then this drive here ensuing where they're able to get 6 points on the board and the extra point from Toronto. So that's where we stand, 13-0 with 48 seconds left in the opening quarter. And I'll be curious to see here if they kick it deep or they try that onside squib kick again.
Jerry Adcock, he is playing it close to, he's the new Tuberville of high school football. He's keeping it close to the vest over there. Coleman has only run 6 offensive plays. We're 48 seconds away from the second quarter, and they've ran 6 offensive plays, 2-3 and outs.
He's close to the vest, but he's had an onside kick and a fake punt. So, yeah.
The Riverboat Gambler. That's how Tuberville got the name. Take them chances.
This is a high, short kickoff fielded by the Bearcats with a fair catch at the 35-yard line. So that's where the Bearcats will be in business from their own 35.
Chase Slocum just took that ball there about the 35-yard line. Called a fair catch because he kicked that ball perfectly to where the defense was there about the same time he caught the football. And he caught it about the numbers over on the 34 side of the field at the 35. So that's where Coleman will take over. First and 10. Let's see if they can get these big guys up front bulldozing some holes for Crenshaw and Crocker. Let them open up this defense a little bit so they can start slinging the football around like they used to doing.
First and 10, Bearcats now. Crocker throws, intended for Mason Goodwin on the far side in a slant. Good coverage from Decatur, but that ball hit Goodwin in the hands, but he's unable to haul it in. It'll be second down and 10 for the Bearcats now.
Yeah, one might be inclined to say that Mason Goodwin dropped that ball, but I'm going to tell you, it was Terry Green that knocked the ball out of his hands before he could get it secured. Good play on defense that time for Decatur. Terry Green, excellent defensive back play over on the far side of the field.
Second and 10 for the Bearcats now. Crocker wants to throw. He's under pressure, has to scramble out to the 35 and gets out to about the 36-yard line. He was, again, looking on the far side of the field trying to find Mason Goodwin, who's the lone receiver to the far side of the field, but he was covered well, and Crocker had to scramble. And
they got a flag down on the far side. Where they threw that flag, it looks like it's possibly going to be offensive holding. Yep, from the spot of the foul, they're going to back him up 10, so it's going to be wrong direction. It'll be second down. Second down and 20.
So second down and long for the Bearcats, second and 20. They'll put the football back at the Bearcat 25-yard line. There'll be 3 receivers to the near side. That's Lovell and Drake and Donaldson. Goodwin, the lone receiver, to the far side of the field. Crenshaw's in the backfield beside Crocker as the Bearcats work toward the south end of the stadium. Crocker wants to throw, rolls to the far side of the field, and overthrows Mason Goodwin, the lone receiver on the far side. He was open about the 35-yard line, but Crocker's pass just sailed a little bit high and incomplete.
Yeah, fell harmlessly to the ground on the far sideline in the Decatur bench. Mason Goodwin was open. He went on a little quick out right there, about a 10-yard out route at the numbers. Cuts it across right at the sticks on the far side of the field. Just not able to climb the ladder high enough to go up and get that ball, which if he was 7 foot tall, he wouldn't have caught that ball. But irregardless.
Third down and 20 for the Bearcats now. 5 receivers, 3 to the near side, 2 to the far side as they work from left to right as you listen. Crocker fakes the pass. Now he's going to run it across the 30. 35 spins to the 37 and falls forward to the 39-yard line. So a good pickup of about 13 yards, but he'll still be 7 yards short of a first down. And back onto the field now will come Dalton Yerby to punt this one away for the Bearcats.
Yeah, Ross Crocker, he did some good hard running that time. And I broke a few tackles. I thought he was going to spin move out of that last tackle and cut it around the corner to the near side about the numbers. But instead, he tackled there at the 39-yard line about the hash marks here. We've got the end of the first quarter. So they'll make a short trip to the other 39-yard line where Coleman will get ready to punt it away. Dalton Yerby will be back in formation. You think they'll try that short distance in between the punter and the offensive line this time? I think they'll back him up a little further.
You know, every time the Bearcats have punted tonight, they've been in that tight punt formation where he's only about 7 yards deep, which gives you no room for error for a bad snap, but perhaps that's what the Bearcats want to try to do tonight, get in a tight formation and give him a chance to go for it or punt it away. But either way, it makes for kind of a rush punt for Dalton Yerby.
Now, what I don't understand though is you've got a defense in Decatur that's getting after it. You know, that they can get through the line of scrimmage there and get back to the punter. I'd want him standing back about the 20-yard line if it was my punter, but either way it goes. I guess that's why I'm in radio and Coach Britton's down on the sidelines.
At the end of one quarter, it's Hansville 7 and Holly Pond nothing.
I kind of thought Holly Pond might get off the winless streak tonight down at Hansville. Both of them very anemic in the win column this season.
At the end of the first quarter, 2, Vinemont 13, Susan Moore nothing. And we'll check and see West Point and East Lawrence still locked up at 7 in that 5A Region 8 contest. On fourth down and 7, the Bearcats in punt formation. Dalton Yerby about 7 yards behind the line to punt this one away. A quick snap, and the Red Raiders almost get to this one to block it, but he gets it away. It hits at the 30 and squirts down to about the 21-yard line. So that's where the Red Raiders will put it in play, first and 10 from their own 21-yard line. Once again, special thanks to those folks who make Friday Night Live possible each and every Friday night on Live 95. 157 Hardware, Joe Coretti Auto Service, Specialty Pharmacy, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, AK Rentals, Fuller Optical, Scissor Salon, Odin's Auto Glass, Morton Buildings, Good Hope Pharmacy, Cyber Broadband, and Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, proud sponsors of Friday Night Live, each and every Friday night here on Live 95. And the reason you're not hearing their actual commercials tonight is we've had some technical difficulty. We've lost our connection to the station to play commercials, so we'll just keep it here with you during timeouts as the Bearcats and Red Raiders battle it out in 6A Region 8 tonight. On first down, the handoff goes to number one. That's Tyree Buchanan, and Buchanan gets across the 25 and out to the 28-yard line. Just a straight-ahead run of about 8 yards that time for Tyree Buchanan.
I don't look for Coach Jerry Adcock to change his game plan up, but it's working perfectly at this point in time. It's 11:28 to go in the second quarter before we get to the half, and Decatur has controlled the football all night. Coleman's had 3 3 and outs, and basically they're, like I said, they're not wasting any time.
And then on first down, they hand it off to Buchanan again, and Buchanan's got a hole. He squirts across the 35 out to the 37-yard line. He's a quick little cat. He's 5'6", 145 pounds, and he is quick getting to the edge. He's got another Decatur first down all the way out to the 38-yard line.
Yeah, Tyree Buchanan, he's got an extra gear. When he does finally break into the open there, it's like he puts it in overdrive and just flies. This kid, I mean, he's got to run track too, because I mean, he goes from zero to wide open in about 2 steps.
First and 10 for Decatur now from their own 38-yard line. They'll send 2 receivers to the far side, 1 to the near side. McCollum, the quarterback, will operate from the shotgun as they work left to right toward the south end of the stadium. McCollum's going to keep it, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and he's hit there, met right in the hole by Ethan McMinn. McMinn, the first Bearcat to get to him, but there were a couple more in there too. Along one of those is Will Blaylock.
Now, Will Blaylock and Sam Calagaris both in on that tackle. He gains about 2 yards, second down, about 8 at the 40-yard line here. This is now the Red Raiders move left to right as you listen. Almost to the CHS in the middle of the field. Such a beautiful stadium now, you know. That's one of the things like we talked about last time we were here. The renovations to the school and to the stadium are just phenomenal. It's almost like watching a college football program out here.
On second down and 8 for the shotgun, the handoff goes to Buchanan again, and he's hit right at the line of scrimmage. Good defensive stick that time from the Bearcats. Getting up off the bottom of that pile, looks like 7, that's Patterson, and also looks like 24 is Calagaris, and also I think Connor Moon was there close by as well.
Yeah, Blake Purifoy, he's the one who created that chaos that time. He stuffed the hole, and when he did, it forced the running back out of his lane, and then the rest of the guys, they just came and had a gang tackle up there, stopped him. Let's see, they've got him marked at the 43-yard line now.
Third down and 5 for Decatur now from their own 43. McCollum wants to throw, fires on the far side of the field, complete, good coverage from the Bearcats. They wrap him up shy of the first down marker right about the 46-yard line. Pitch and catch out there to number 25. I'm sorry, that time for the Red Raiders. It was Micah Carter on the reception.
Yeah, Carter, he ran a good route. And it looks like they're going to go for it. Yeah, Calagaris had great coverage that time, enabled for the Connor Moon to come up and help clean him up.
On fourth and 1, Decatur's going to try to go for it on fourth down. A hard snap count, and the Bearcats jump, but I'm not sure if he jumped across the line. Yes, there's a flag on the far side of the field. Looks like he may have been offsides.
Yeah, number 44 that time. He was getting a little bit anxious for on defense and jumped offsides. And the hat comes off down here.
The little hat button didn't pop the top of the helmet, though.
He didn't swat him, but he had it off.
It was fourth down and short, and a hard snap count from the Red Raiders was able to draw Bailey Comstock offsides, and so now it's first down and 10 for Decatur from the Bearcat 48-yard line. A slot to the near side, one receiver to the far side. McCollum wants to throw, fires, and Jalen Stevens couldn't haul that one in. He had it and lost it and got it back and then lost it again in the end. A good effort that time from Stevenson.
Yeah, Will Crenshaw came in there and finished that play up, and Stevenson was juggling the football. About the numbers on the far side of the field, Crenshaw come in and just laid the lumber to him. When he did, the ball fell to the ground, and it's going to set up second down and 10 with an incomplete pass there on first.
On second down and 10 for the Bearcat 48-yard line, Decatur working left to right, receiver split to either side. An eye backfield behind McCollum, the quarterback. They hand it off to Littrell. Littrell's across the 40 and dragging Bearcats with him down to about the 37-yard line is Scott Littrell. He's not a very big guy, 5'11", 200, but he was able to drag three or four Bearcats with him all the way down to the 37-yard line, and he's going to have what looks like another Red Raider first down.
Yeah, they're going to mark him at the 37-yard line. And as Tommy mentioned, Littrell, not a big guy. He's not very tall, but 5'11", 200. He's got a very low center of gravity. And when he hits players, he drives them back. He's a very powerful runner. That time they actually got outside the end on the far side and able to pick up about 11 yards there.
Handoff goes to Tyree Buchanan this time, trying to turn the far corner of the field. And he's flushed out. Right about the line of scrimmage, not much doing on that handoff that time for the Red Raiders.
Now, Caligaris, number 24, he came from that linebacker position, came across the field and just grabbed him by the jersey and took him to the ground. Actually lost about a half a yard that time, but a very good play by number 24, Sam Caligaris.
Second down and 10 for Decatur now from the Bearcat 37-yard line. Slot to the near side, one receiver to the far side. Two backs beside McCollum in the backfield. Fake to the up back. McCollum wants to throw deep down the far sideline. This is going to be picked off by the Bearcats at the 2-yard line.
That's number 37. That's Zach Glenn. I'm sorry, that wasn't Will Crenshaw on that last play. I just got those bad eyes going on. It's number 37, not 33, but number 37, Zach Glenn, intercepts the football down at the 2-yard line. He went up, had great coverage. The ball sailed just a little bit short, able to turn around and go up and take it away from number 11, Jalen Stevenson, and that's where the Bearcats will be set up. They got 98 yards to go, but they got the football back, and they keep the Decatur Red Raiders out of the end zone.
This is a time for a good turnaround drive for the Bearcats to get some momentum back and to get some positive things going on their behalf, because so far tonight, between onside kicks and fake punts, it's been the Red Raiders who've had the momentum for the night tonight. It'll be first and 10 Bearcats now from their own 2-yard line. They'll come in with a tight set and only one receiver to the far side of the field. They'll have three backs in the backfield. Straight ahead handoff to Will Crenshaw, and he gets out to right about the 5-yard line, just a straight ahead dive, trying to pick up a little bit of breathing room down near the goal line.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to try to do here. They're going to get a little bit of a pad out of the end zone and look for them to try to spread the field out a little bit more, not so much in that bunch formation they had the previous play. Which they are going to tighten it back up again here and try to just run the football ahead and get a little bit more room to work with.
Ross Cocker will operate from the shotgun. He'll hand it off to Will Crenshaw again, trying to turn the near corner, and he's wrapped up and hit about the 4-yard line. What a good defensive pursuit from Quentin Duper. He was in the backfield right about the time Crenshaw took the handoff.
Yeah, he just shot through the line right that time as Crenshaw tried to get around this left end to the near side of the field. And about the hash marks, Duper came out of nowhere and slammed him to the ground for no gain. So it's going to be third down and 8 as the Bearcats operate inside their own 5-yard line here.
They'll have a slot to the far side, one receiver to the near side. Crocker fakes a handoff to Crenshaw, wants to throw, rolls to the far side of the field. He's in trouble in the end zone, and he throws this one away on the near side of the field. And hopefully they're going to say that Crenshaw was over here close enough to be able to catch that ball, because that could have been a safety with him being in the end zone in trouble and throwing the ball away. But they're going to say Crenshaw was over here, even though the ball was about 10 yards over his head, about 20 yards long.
Yeah, the ball hit the track over here on the near side of the field, but Crocker able to get the football away and come in to punt this ball away and try to get some distance between them, Decatur, and the goal line.
Dalton Yerby kicks it away. It's picked up by the Red Raiders at the 45. Run to the 40, 35, 30, 25, and down to the 24-yard line. So on the possessions, on the change of possessions tonight, it's all been the Red Raiders tonight having great field position. They've operated most of the night inside Bearcat territory. Now they're going to start deep in Bearcat territory at the 25-yard line.
And as I mentioned, you know, in pregame, number 97, Francisco Tirada, if Decatur gets the football inside the 40-yard line, he is a threat to score. If they can't get the offense across the goal line, Tirada is deadly inside 40 yards. He was nailing them from 52, 53, 54 yards here in practice, in warm-ups. So,
on first and 10, the Red Raiders handed off running straight ahead to Scott Littrell. And he gets right back to the line of scrimmage before he stops. So not much doing on that running play there for the Red Raiders. Clock is running. 6 minutes left in the first half. It's 13-0 Decatur over the Coleman Bearcats.
Yeah, Littrell's hat got ripped off that time. So number 10, Terry Green, will come in to take over the running back duties as Connor Moon knocked the helmet off of that guy. Came up and he just popped him so hard his helmet flew off.
On second down and 10 from the Bearcat 24, McCollum watched to throw. He's in trouble. The Bearcats are chasing him back to the 35, and he gets away there, gets a block, scrambles back to the 30, back to the original line of scrimmage, still running to the 20, and dives out of bounds at the 17-yard line. The Bearcats had him dead to rights back at about the 35-yard line. Justin Patterson had him, but he got away, and then he got a great block from one of his offensive linemen that sprung him loose all the way down to the 17-yard line. He'll gain 8 yards on a wild scramble.
I couldn't make out the play, the offensive player that made the block, but he came across the field. He took out Hunter Brandon and Justin Patterson with one guy taking out two guys on a block. That's what sprung McCollum around the end to pick up such good yardage there when he, like Tommy said, he was dead to rights about the 35, 37-yard line.
On third down at 4 now, McCollum hands off on a sweep coming around the near sideline. That's Tay Hayes. There's a flag on the field back at about the 15-yard line. Hayes really not able to pick up much yardage at all. He might have got back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, there's going to be a holding call on this near side of the field. Looks like Blake Purefoy was turned around down here on the near side of the field, so they're going to call holding on Decatur, and they're going to back him up 10 from that spot and play it again, so it'll be third down and 13. Yep, my math was correct, third and 13. How you like that?
They'll put the football down right about the 27-yard line. It'll be third and 13, 5 minutes, 18 seconds left in the first half. It's 13-0 Decatur on a wild first half. We knew it was going to be a great ball game, but we probably didn't expect the fake punts and the onside kicks from Decatur. They're playing it close to the vest on offense, pretty conservative, but then they've gone for it on fourth down, and they've kicked an onside kick, and they've got a 13-0 lead over the Bearcats, and they're driving now. Pass complete to Scott Littrell. Littrell runs down to right about the 11-yard line, and he's going to be stopped in bounds, so the clock will continue to run, but that's another Decatur Red Raider first down.
Yeah, number 22, Dalton Yerby, drug Littrell down on the far side of the field there, saving a touchdown. Dropped him right at the 10-yard line, so it's going to be first and goal from the 10. And Decatur just methodically moving the football. They sent two receivers on the far side. They sent them deep, which allowed Littrell to come out of the backfield and then cut across the middle just where the linebackers would have been, but they were drawn into coverage with all the wide receivers going down the field. And boom!
There comes a big play from Purefoy from his nose guard position. He met the running back right about the time he took the handoff from McCollum, and what a big stick and a loss of about 7 yards.
Yeah, they're going to mark him down about the 16, 17-yard line now as Blake Purefoy busted through that offensive line and could have taken the handoff, but instead of taking the handoff, he tried to take the head off of the running back that time. Wow.
Second down. And it's not quite second down and goal, but the first down marker just shy of the goal line. Penalty flags on the play as the Red Raiders try to get a playoff. It looks like they may can get a first down just by the depth of the leather on the football right near the goal line. So it'll be second down and 16 to go for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, they're working right there at the 16-yard line. They called a timeout. I think the play clock actually was going to expire on this side. And they got the timeout call before the flag came out. But there was laundry on the field, but he picks it up, stuffs it in his pocket, and says, "Ah, never mind." I tell you, Tommy, this is kind of what we expected to see tonight so far out of this Decatur team. You know, we talked about early in the broadcast about how Coach Adcock, well, he likes to build a lead, and then he sits on the football. You can't beat me if you don't have the football, and that's his philosophy, and he sticks to it. He hasn't changed up a bit tonight. He's been a little bit risky, as you mentioned, with the onside kick there at the beginning of the game, then the fake punt. But the ball has bounced in their favor on both times. So his risks have been rewarding, so to speak.
Yep, he's taken those risks. It's paid off for him, and he's doing what he does best, and that's play good, scrappy defense and keep the football away from the opponent when you're on offense. Second down and 16 now. Inside shuffle pass to 13. Littrell runs down to right about the 5-yard line. Just a straight ahead old shuttle pass inside. And yep, he picked up good yardage all the way down to the 5-yard line.
Littrell came from that slot position on the other side. Everybody was pulling like they were going to try to run a sweep. And McCollum just planted his foot, shovel passed it to him. He was able to pick up good yardage there. Gets him back down about the 5-yard line. And now they'll check in. Looks like Hayes checks back in at running back. And he's kind of more of a built of a more powerful runner.
It'll be third down and goal, or third and maybe 5 yards from under center now. McCollum takes a snap, but then also Decatur calls timeout right before the play. Again, they're working the play clock all the way down, and I think Coach Jerry Adcock saw the play clock running down and called timeout from the sideline. So timeout on the field, 3:09 left to go in the first half. It's 13-0 Decatur leading the Bearcats of Coleman. We're going to be trying to check in on Hartsel and Florence playing in another big 6A Region 8 battle taking place in Florence tonight. The Muscle Shoals Trojans are off this week. That's who the Bearcats will play next week from Muscle Shoals. We'll have that game for you live next week right here on Live 95 as Friday Night Live hits the road to go to Muscle Shoals next week for the Bearcats and the Trojans.
Yeah, we'll travel next week with the team up to Muscle Shoals to bring you all the action from the Shoals area next week. It'll be a fun trip. Go up Highway 157 there a piece and watch some good football from another wonderful-looking stadium. Tommy sent me some pictures earlier in the week of where we'll be broadcasting from, and they've got some great-looking facilities up there as well.
Third down and goal for Decatur now. Two receivers to the near side, one to the far side. From the shotgun, McCollum fires complete to Stevenson right about the 4, and he dances down to near the 1-yard line.
Yeah, they have excellent pursuit that time. Justin Patterson, he's been in the backfield more than their own running backs pretty much tonight. Every time that McCollum has to scramble, big old number 7 is right in his face, and he's just able to get that ball away down to Stevenson. As he came back from his wide receiver position, almost like it was a kind of looked like an old draw play. You know, the quarterback let everybody come on the rush, and he comes on that little screen play, but he did it up the middle from the far side of the field.
Fourth down and 1 for Decatur now, and penalty flags on the play as the Red Raiders were going to go for it on fourth down.
Yeah, the Bearcats used a little of their own medicine on Decatur that time. Instead of jumping offside, one of the down linemen came up to the line of scrimmage, got in a down position, and then jumped backwards away from the line of scrimmage and drew Decatur offside. So that'll back them up outside the 5 now. So when they do that, I could have guessed it. Number 97 trots out onto the field. The ball rests on the far hash mark, about the A in the Bearcats on this end of the field. And that's where number 97, Francisco Tirada, he'll try what is essentially an extra point field goal here to try to push this lead to 16 before the half.
They'll spot it down at the 12-yard line. Be a 22-yard field goal from the far hash. The snap and the place are good, and the kick is up. The kick is good as well. So with 2:15 left to go in the ball game, the Decatur Red Raiders have taken a 16-0 lead over the Coleman Bearcats, and kind of a shocked crowd here tonight at Oliver Woodard Stadium.
It's awfully quiet over on this side of the field. It's awfully quiet on the other side of the field, because I think about 40 people showed up for Decatur. You got a 6A football team. You got an enrollment of 600-700 students. You think you'd have more people travel, make a short drive. I mean, it's 30 minutes away.
You think you might have at least one, maybe two parents per child, but not a good traveling crowd at all across the way from the Decatur Red Raiders. Like you mentioned, kind of surprising to see a 6A team not travel any better than the Red Raiders do. But the Red Raiders came to play football, that's for sure.
Yeah, they definitely loaded the bus with football players. They might not have brought a lot of spectators, but they brought some players tonight. That is for sure. We've got your typical duo back in the backfield here to receive this kickoff for Coleman. You got number 2, Bronte Harris, number 19, Caleb Wynn. As Francisco Tirada kicks a high spinning kick, taken by Wynn on the far side at the 25. He's out to 30, 35, 40, 42-yard line as he falls on his face there. Number 19, Caleb Wynn.
So that'll be good field position for the Bearcats, probably their best starting field position of the night. It'll be first and 10 Bearcats now from their own 44-yard line. We've got 2:08 left in the first half, and the Bearcats trail the Red Raiders by 16. It's 16-0, Decatur leading Coleman in this 6A Region 8 battle here from Oliver Woodard Stadium.
Well, the good thing is, right now, Decatur scored a lot, but they've scored a bunch of threes. You know, Coleman gets 2 touchdowns, they're right back in his football game.
Crocker on first down, fakes a toss out to the near side, going to keep it and run. He gets across the 50 into Red Raider territory at the 49-yard line. Good straight ahead run of about 7 yards that time by Ross Crocker.
Yeah, faked the handoff, drew the defense out wide. When he did, he just saw a hole open up, fell forward there on that play. Gets about, looks like about 7 yards, so it's going to be 2nd down and 3, 2nd down and 4. This is the first time Coleman's crossed midfield with a football, Tommy.
Bearcats have 3 receivers to the near side, 2 to the far side as they work from right to left here in the second quarter. Crocker throws for Drake right about the 42-yard line, and officials rule incomplete. A great effort that time from Dawson Drake to make the catch right about the 43-yard line, but they rule him incomplete. So it'll be 3rd down and 3 now for the Bearcats.
He had a little quick slant route there about the hash marks. He was wide open. The ball was just delivered a little bit short. Bounced on the turf before he was able to corral it in. Going to bring up 3rd down and 4 here. With 1:27 to go before the half, Coleman eagerly wanting to get on the scoreboard to go in at halftime and rethink how they're going to move this ball better in the second half.
5 wide receivers to the Bearcats now. Crocker wants to throw. Pump fakes. Fires across the middle, and he's picked off at the 43-yard line. Intercepted by number 19, Quentin Duper. He just stepped right in front of Dawson Drake and picked the pass off. So now the Red Raiders are back in business and stop another Bearcat drive.
Ross Crocker that time, he had number 12, Dawson Drake. He had him wide open. He was waiting for him to clear that outside linebacker, and Duper saw that. When he did, he just waited on the ball to come out of his hands and then stepped over in front of the pass because there was actually 2 guys in between Drake and Crocker.
On first down, McCollum wants to throw, fires out in the flat, incomplete, intended on the outside for Malik Carter. So that'll bring up 2nd down and 10 for the Red Raiders.
Yeah, had he even caught that ball, Dalton Yarby, he had already sniffed that out. And he was waiting on him to wrap him up and drop him there. Would have been a loss on the play. Going to bring up 2nd down and 10. 1:14 to go before the half. Even though the clock stopped, they still don't get in a hurry to get up and, you know.
They have their system of running offense, and it's the same whether the clock is running or stopped at the play clock all the way down to 5. McCollum on a quarterback draw gets to the 45 and then falls forward to the 46. And, boy, what a good toss on a flag by the back judge. He threw that from the 25-yard line, and it landed at the 40. Decatur 47-yard line.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say good tackle that time by Connor Moon, but yeah, that was. I need to get him some pads and a helmet. Let him play in the NFL if he can throw that flag. You know he can throw a football.
That was a 27-yard flag toss from the back judge all the way up to the line of scrimmage.
He'd be like one of those the cornhole game that they play. Yeah. He'd be like a world champion with that thing.
Makes you wonder what he saw way back there that the side judge didn't see, who was 5 yards away from the play.
Yeah,
nonetheless,
kind of makes you wonder, doesn't it?
They mark off 10 yards against Decatur, so they'll back them up to their own 35-yard line.
We We're going to set the ball.
Second down and 17 for Decatur. McCollum tosses the option back to Littrell. Littrell runs out to about the 39-yard line on the far side of the field, and that's where he's knocked down. So bring up third down and about 12 o'clock inside 1 minute to go now in the first half.
Heads up play that time on the far side of the field by number 22, Dalton Yerby. The wide receiver, when you had that pitch play, he was out there blocking. Excuse me. And Yerby stood his ground, hands inside on the pads, able to shake the defender right at the same time the running back got there with the football. Shake the player, make the tackle. Excellent, excellent defensive play on the far side of the field by number 22, Dalton Yerby.
Third down and 14 for Decatur now. Hand off to Littrell again across the 40 and out to right about the 42-yard line and runs out of bounds.
He ran out of bounds while the clock got stopped. They let about 5 seconds click off that bad boy before they got it stopped. But nevertheless, Sam Calligaris making an excellent tackle on the far side of the field as he runs the player out of bounds right about the stick. So it's 4th and 10 now. Coleman's going to have a chance at a return. It's about it here with 12.7 seconds to go before the half.
So on 4th down and 10, Caden Wynn will be back to receive the punt off the leg of Griffin McCollum. McCollum should hit it away about his own 30-yard line. And Caden Wynn standing back at the Bearcat 25-yard line. An end-over-end kick that hits at the 27. And Wynn's going to step aside and let this one go down at the 20-yard line, but the clock's going to expire too. Actually, it'll stop. They'll stop the clock with 0.8 seconds left in the first half. The Red Raiders touched the ball just about 0.8 seconds before the clock was going to run out.
Well, I guess if the Coleman coaching staff can open up the old playbook, it's about, I don't know, halfway through, about middle, three-quarters of the way through. There's probably a play in there designed specifically for 0.8 seconds on the clock and 80 yards. But instead, looks like they're just going to kneel down on the ball and go in at the half.
And that's exactly what they'll do. Ross Crocker takes a snap, takes a knee. So that ends the first half. After one half of play, the Decatur Red Raiders have come into Oliver Woodard Stadium and kind of shocked the crowd and shocked the Coleman Bearcats with a 16-0 lead. And some of that has come from some risky plays, onside kicks, fake punts, and some of it has just come, Jason, from good old-fashioned hard-nosed football.
Yeah, smash mouth, control the football, keep the ball away from the offense. They've slowed the tempo way down. Indicator has taken a few risks. They've done exactly what they have to do. They've gambled when they needed to, and they've won each time. You had an onside kick. You had a fake punt, and they go for it on fourth down, and all three of those things work out in their favor. They have controlled the football for probably, I would say, 75% of the time here in the first half so far. They just won't give Coleman the football back to do anything with it. When they need a few, 3 or 4 yards, they seem to always get it.
Right. Things are going the way of the Red Raiders tonight, and they're not going the way of the Bearcats so far. Special thanks to the folks who make Friday Night Live possible. We apologize. We can't actually air their commercials due to technical difficulties, but we can tell you who the fine folks are who bring you Friday Night Live each and every Friday night. You are Live 95. They are Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, Fuller Optical, AK Rentals, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware, all proud sponsors of Friday Night Live, each and every Friday night right here on Coleman's Live 95.
We needed to have a storm cleanup guy on our advertising list this past week. if you weren't a part of the chaos that was weather on Monday afternoon, wow. And I guess in your business, you probably had a lot of phone calls this week from people with storm damage and whatnot.
We were fortunate. I had some clients who had some damage, but fortunately, what we did run across was probably minor damage. A lot of folks around town very blessed. A lot of our farmers insurance customers very blessed that the trees might have fallen. They just fell harmlessly, as you say. The football falls harmlessly to the turf. Those trees fell harmlessly on the ground, but didn't affect houses or cars for the most part. So.
I saw a couple of cars around town that are on their way to the junkyard right now, caught under some trees. I saw, I think, two or three in town, some pictures on online and stuff where people are taking different photos. When we're waiting on the bands to play here tonight, if you're just joining us, I'll go ahead and give you a little quick rundown of how we've gotten to this score of 16-0. In the first quarter with 7:53 to go, Decatur marched down inside Coleman territory. Number 97, Francisco Tirada, hit a 42-yard field goal that put Decatur up 3-0. The next drive, they were deep inside Coleman territory as a result of a onside kick that they recovered. So with 4:10 to go in the first, Francisco Tirada comes in and he kicks a 22-yard field goal. That makes it 6-0. Then 48 seconds to go in the first, Terry Green, number 10, he goes on a 5-yard touchdown run. Tirada's extra point was good. Decatur led at that point 13-0. And then just right here before the half with 2:15 to go, Francisco Tirada kicks a 22-yard field goal, and that's how we've arrived at the score. Decatur 16, Coleman 0. But I have a feeling, Tommy, that after the halftime break, we're going to see a retooled, revamped Coleman offense. They're going to come out, maybe try to get do some ball control. Decatur will get the ball to start the second half, but maybe we can get this Coleman defense to shore up a little bit because they seem to have progressed as the game goes on. They've started playing harder, and they're controlling more of those long bursts that Decatur were getting right out of the gate. They seem to kind of settle down and start playing Coleman defense football.
Yeah, and it may have taken about a quarter to a quarter and a half to settle the defense down, and that's one thing I talked to Coach Britton about in the pregame was, you know, how we know this is a huge game for the Bearcats if they want to make their 10th straight playoff appearance. And, you know, I asked him, how have you stressed the importance of the ball game, but also been able to keep the guys from being uptight? And he thought they'd had a great week of practice and been able to focus on the task at hand and not get uptight. But it obviously looks like the Bearcats did come out a little bit tight tonight. And like you said, though, they're beginning to come into their own, and maybe the second half will be a different tale. Just as the first half went the way of the Red Raiders, the second half can go the way of the Bearcats here at Oliver Woodard Stadium. From around the county, Good Hope leads DAR 14-7. Vinemont leads Susan Moore 13-7. Addison and Tarrant are locked at 7. And West Point and East Limestone, a big 5A Region 8 battle for the Warriors from West Point. They're tied at 7. East Limestone is undefeated, setting a top 5A Region 8. The West Point Warriors have dropped a couple of region ball games that they have really got to kind of in the same shape the Bearcats are. They've got to win. They control their own destiny if they want to get to the playoffs. But they're tied with East Limestone now 7-7. Cold Springs leads Summerton Christian 7-0 at the end of the first. And Hansville is out in front of Holly Pond by a score of 13-0. And we'll try to get you some scores from up around the shoals. Hartzell and Florence are playing tonight in Florence, and I was expecting to get a couple of scores from the area up there, but I haven't gotten any of those scores yet. We're going to be scrambling, trying to find some of those scores for you, because next week the Bearcats travel to Muscle Shoals to play the Trojans. In this region, 6A Region 8 is such a mess with basically three teams vying for the fourth playoff spot right now. You've got the Muscle Shoals Trojans, who have two losses in the region. Hartzell has two losses in the region. The Bearcats have two losses in the region. Those three teams are basically battling for the fourth playoff spot because Florence is undefeated in the region, yet they still have to play Hartzell and Decatur, and Decatur only has one loss in the region. It is a jumbled mess. Folks, if you think the SEC West can be a mess at the end of the season, this 6A Region 8 is really a toss-up in who can win and who can be left at home. But the bottom line for the Bearcats is they really desperately need to win tonight. If they can't turn it around tonight and come up with a win, they're going to have a lot of help from some other folks in 6A Region 8. And one of those wild cards, a team that's never going to make a chance in the playoffs, is Austin. But Austin still has to play a few of these other teams in Region 8, and they could pull an upset and be able to change some pictures in the region.
Yeah, Austin, as a matter of fact, tonight they're playing Athens at home, and then next week they travel to Hartzell. And like you said, it's a wild card. They've only won one game all season. But, you know, they may be able to get up, and one of these other teams overlooks an Austin team 0-5 in the region, and they have a slip-up, and that creates that chaos to kind of to put Coleman in that fourth position there in the region to get them into the playoffs, like you said earlier, for the 10th straight season. You know, out of Coach Britton's 14-year tenure here, they've only missed the playoffs four times. And That's a pretty good stretch there for a Coleman Bearcat team, hungry to get back into the playoffs and try to make a little deep run again. You know, like I said, in 2007, this Decatur team and Coleman met, and Coleman went away with the third round playoff victory. I believe they won that game 38-24. I had it written down before, but I've done forgot. I'm glad you mentioned the SEC West, because as I do every week here at halftime, I'd like to give you a rundown of what's going on around the SEC tomorrow. We got Auburn is off tomorrow, so I guess that'll be a lot of yard work for me. I got nothing else to do. No, I'm just kidding. Tomorrow at 2:30 on CBS, the SEC game of the week. It'll be Texas A&M traveling to Tuscaloosa to take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. That game can be seen at 2:30 tomorrow on CBS. Alabama comes in at about a 13-point favorite, and this series has been the best of the new SEC. But the stakes are a little different this year. A&M is reeling after two straight losses. Alabama very nearly could have suffered a second straight loss of his own a week ago. The Aggies probably need to win this to avoid finishing sixth in the division, while the Tide probably can't lose and still have a shot in the West. But I don't see the Aggies slipping out of Tuscaloosa tomorrow with a win at all. I look for that Alabama offense to take advantage of a just anemic Texas A&M defense, and we'll see if the Tide can get it done tomorrow at 2:30 in Tuscaloosa. Then tomorrow morning on the SEC Network, if you just got nothing better to do and you want to watch some football at 11, poor old Furman comes into Columbia to take on South Carolina.
The Paladins and the Gamecocks at 11 o'clock.
Yeah. If you've just got nothing better to do, there's something on. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock on the SEC Network, the Georgia Bulldogs travel without Todd Gurley to Fayetteville to take on Arkansas. And this is the East Division's last and best chance at getting the win over the West this year, because the East just been stinking it up all over the place. But Georgia, nevertheless, they're favorite tomorrow by 3 points over Arkansas in Arkansas. You know, Tommy, it wouldn't surprise me one bit for Arkansas to come away from this game with a win. Arkansas is a much improved program. They just have been on the bad side of the scoreboard. When the clock strikes zero, you know, the first game of the season, Auburn dismantled them, but they had to do it in the third and fourth quarter. We were tied at the half. And last week, they lost a one-point ball game to Alabama. They almost beat Texas A&M. They let that game go in overtime and lost in overtime to Texas A&M, who they just had dead to rights the whole football game. They racked up hundreds and hundreds of yards running against that Texas A&M defense. But I look for Arkansas maybe to surprise Georgia tomorrow.
They're a good football team. They just haven't been able to get a break. And, you know, they kind of do the same thing Decatur's done tonight. They just line up and play old-fashioned football and run it.
Yeah, they
play good defense.
Brett brought the Big Ten to the South, and nobody thought it was going to work. But he's got some players there now that I believe he's going to be able to make a powerful, just power rush football team. That's how they play it up in Big Ten country, and he that's what he's going to try to do at Arkansas. We'll see how that works out for him.
Back to the 70s in Arkansas.
Yeah, 3 yards in a cloud of dust out there in God's country. Tomorrow at 6 o'clock on ESPN2, Missouri travels to Gainesville to take on the Florida Gators. The winner stays in the division race, while the loser probably, they're going to be out of it, that's for sure. And Florida's actually, they're going to be favored over Missouri. And I feel like that's probably due to the egg that Missouri laid last week against Georgia, losing 34-0. You know, everybody kind of picked Missouri to possibly win that ball game because Georgia had set Gurley for last week's contest as well. And they just didn't show up. Matty Mock not playing the type quarterback position that he was thought was going to be playing at the beginning of the season. And Missouri just couldn't get on the scoreboard last week. Let's see how that game turns out. Game I'd like to watch tomorrow night, just out of pure enjoyment. I've already been pulling for the Tennessee Volunteers this year because they've got 22 starters, 18 of them are freshmen.
Yeah.
That team's going to be deadly in a couple of years. You can see Tennessee at Ole Miss tomorrow night. That game's at 6 p.m. on ESPN. And between A&M and LSU, this will be a sandwich game for the Rebels if there was any shot that the Vols would score on offense. We'll see how that turns out, because Ole Miss has got one of the stingiest, best defenses in the nation. And Tennessee's young, fledgling offense, we'll see if they can do anything with them tomorrow. Then the final game on the slate tomorrow is Kentucky at LSU. I told you that 5 years ago. You said, why would that be a primetime game? Kentucky's coming into the Bayou Bengals home tomorrow down in Baton Rouge with one loss. They really should be undefeated because they gave that game away against Florida. Kentucky's playing some great, great football right now. They've vastly improved. No one gave them a shot this season. And they travel to LSU, and they can make a huge statement about their rate of improvement if they can take down the LSU Tigers tomorrow night, because the LSU, they're not playing that great right now either. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit that Kentucky Wildcats come out with a win tomorrow as well.
And believe it or not, the Wildcats are setting the top of the SEC East with the Georgia Bulldogs. Who would have thunk it? We're at halftime at Oliver Woodard Stadium. The Decatur Red Raiders with a 16-0 lead over the Coleman Bearcats, and now we'll take you down to the field for the halftime sounds of the Coleman High School Bearcat Marching Band.
Thank you. Today we set a new course for America's space program. We will build new ships to carry man forward into the universe and prepare for new journeys to the worlds beyond our own.
The halftime sounds of the Coleman Bearcat Marching Band. It's halftime, and the Decatur Red Raiders lead the Bearcats by a score of 16-0. Now back down to the field for more of the sounds of the Coleman High School Bearcat Marching Band. The sounds of the Coleman High School Bearcat Marching Band at halftime from Oliver Woodard Stadium. The Decatur Red Raiders lead the Coleman Bearcats by a score of 16-0. I'm Tommy Warhurst alongside Jason Coretti. Glad you're with us tonight on Friday Night Live. Want to take a moment and say a special thanks to those folks who are making Friday Night Live possible. 157 Hardware, Joe Coretti Auto Service, Specialty Pharmacy, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, AK Reynolds, Fuller Optical, Scissor Salon, Odin's Auto Glass, Morton Buildings, Good Hope Pharmacy, Cyber Broadband, and Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, all proud sponsors of Friday Night Live each and every Friday night here on Coleman's Live 95. And if you like the high school football we bring you, you're going to love Sports Talk Live every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 4 until 6 right here on Live 95. Ronnie Barnes and Jason Spiegel talk high school sports, college sports, professional sports, and even local fishing with Rex Chandler each and every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. It's Sports Talk Live with Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes right here on Coleman's Live 95.
I scoured the internet here during halftime. I'm taking a listen to the band, come up with some scores. Florence and Hartzell in a slugfest tied 3-3. Got a report here off the AL.com earlier that their quarterback took a pretty hard shot and went down. They didn't leave the game, but now they're resting on 3 points, both teams, and some scores from around the county. Cold Springs up 20-0 on Summerton Christian. Don't have a reported score for Fairview and Douglas. Good Hope leads DAR 28-14. Hansville up 27-0 on Holly Pond here at the half. Bynemont leads Susan Moore 19-7 at the half. And West Point and East Limestone don't have an update on them, but they were tied in the first early in the game, 7-7. So if you know any of those scores, feel free to give us a shout and let us know what they are. If you got mine or Tommy's cell phone number, I guess you could text us. We don't have a call-in show yet.
Usually we'd say, send that back to the station. The station will send it to us. We're kind of the station on location, which is why we're not able to broadcast commercials tonight. And with technology today, thanks to Jay Fuller, and his business of One Live 95 FM, also Cyber Broadband, and his computer IT company, we're able to broadcast to you each and every week on location. And what we actually do, we bring a laptop computer, we go in via the internet, we tap into the radio station computer, and we're able to play commercials and do everything right here live from the station and not have to have someone back in the studio playing commercials. But in this case, that would benefit us tonight because we've lost our connection back to the station, but thankfully, we're able to stay on the air, bring you all the action of the Bearcats and the Red Raiders, and we'll do the same thing next week from Muscle Shoals as the Coleman Bearcats travel to Muscle Shoals to take on the Trojans in another 6A Region 8 battle from Muscle Shoals next Friday night right here on Live 95.
Yeah, good football, good food, good times. We're going to travel up there next week with the team and bring you all the action from Muscle Shoals. Try to slip downtown and have some good Italian food. I can't remember what's the name of that restaurant up there.
Rigatoni's over in Florence is
yeah.
one. And as you're talking about going back to Muscle Shoals, I'm thinking of a Chevy Chase line for Christmas Vacation where we're going to go up there and see the kids in the kin. that's where my family's from Muscle Shoals. In fact, I went to school there through half of my freshman year, so it's kind of a homecoming. I'm going to go back and we'll actually get a tour of the facilities there. They have excellent facilities just like we have here at Coleman. Brand new field, an indoor practice facility, and Alan Willingham, who's an assistant principal at one of the schools there in Muscle Shoals, a good friend of mine who I went to school with there and also does the radio broadcast for the Trojans, going to show us some extra hospitality and show us around before the game next week. So, guys, we're coming. We'll be hungry, and we'll see you next week.
I'm glad you know some people up there. The only person I know is Lionel Richie. I don't think he still lives there, but, you know, hey.
It's 16-0 Decatur over the Bearcats as we're just about set to begin the third quarter. And as the Decatur Red Raiders have had the ball most of the first half, they're going to get the football again to start the third quarter as the Bearcats will tee it up to kick it away.
Yeah, the Bearcats they'd be due to hold here on defense. You've got a bunch of great players out here right now. I know we've called these names all night. Sam Calagaris, Connor Moon, Ethan McMahon, Chase Slocum, Bronte Harris, to name a few on Coleman's defense that have just been outstanding, along with Justin Patterson, really getting after the quarterback. Coleman lines up to kick it away here, this powerful run-happy offense of Decatur.
So the Bearcats kick it away now, and with third quarters underway, the kick taken by the Red Raiders at the 20 and run back to about the 27-yard line. A good run back that time, stop made by number 44, Bailey Comstock. For the Bearcats.
Yeah, Tyreek Langford, number 4 from Decatur, only makes it out to the 22-yard line. Or I'm sorry, the 27-yard line. And I believe that's going to be the worst starting field position for Hartsell all evening. Let's see if the Bearcats can rise to the occasion here, get the ball back for the offense. Let's get some points on this board, get this crowd into it down here. Let's get fired up, get these boys moving in the right direction, and start lighting up the far side of the scoreboard.
So it'll be 1st and 10 Red Raiders now from their own 27-yard line. I formation behind McCollum, and he hands it off to Terry Green, and Green tries to get to the far corner. The Bearcats chase him and catch him in the backfield for about a 3-yard loss.
Yeah, number 5, Chase Slocum, came up from his defensive back position, nailed Green in the backfield back there. He's going to lose about 3 yards, so it's going to be 2nd down and 13 as we get started early here in the third quarter to start this second half. Coleman's defense looks like they're coming out to play right now, that's for sure. McCollum back in the backfield. He's deep in the shotgun position behind him. I can't make out the running backs. I think that's Terry Green. He's in the game. McCollum, he drops back to pass. He's going to scramble out of the pocket, looking for somebody on this side, and Patterson comes up with the play that time. He finally got to McCollum in the backfield and dropped him for a huge loss. Back at the 14-yard line, Justin Patterson, he is fired up out there tonight, folks. This Coleman defense, like I said, Tommy, that's what they needed to come out here, wake up, get this ball back, get this crowd into it, get the fans, get them cheered on here. See if we can't get a Coleman win out of this thing tonight.
I start to say exactly what you said needed to happen. The Bearcats needed to come out and have a good defensive stand to start the third quarter and kind of change things. It took them a while to wake up in the first half, but so far here in the third quarter, they're awake. It's 3rd down and long. 3rd and 23 for Decatur now from their own 13-yard line. McCollum from the shotgun wants to throw, fires across the middle, hit immediately as he makes the catch at number 47. Jack Underwood. Underwood was hit right as he made the catch by Ethan McMahon. Great coverage from the Bearcats.
I bet Ethan McMahon wish he'd have got there a little sooner and had another one of them nice pick sixes he had last week that got called back on a technicality. But I tell you, that was an impressive. It was 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry, not last week. 2 weeks ago when he intercepted that ball down inside the 10 and ran it back all the way to the far end of the field. I wanted to see a little laundry about midfield. But Ethan McMahon played excellent defense out there all season long and made a spectacular play on the ball that time.
So a good defensive stand by the Bearcats has it 4th and 10 for the Red Raiders now. And McCollum set to punt it away from his own 15. He gets this one away, a high, kind of a wobbly spiral. Fair catch called for at the 42-yard line. And the Red Raiders run into him, and then there's the flag back at the 42-yard line. They didn't give Caden Wynn an opportunity to catch the ball, so that's going to give the Bearcats some good field position. The football should be moved into Red Raider territory.
Yeah, Caden Wynn went up. He put up his hand for the fair catch. He was standing on the 42-yard line, and he had three Red Raiders around him, and they bumped him before the ball got there, bounced off of him. They fell on the ball, but all for naught, because they're going to penalize the Red Raiders. Like Tommy said, they'll back them up inside Red Raider territory. Coleman going to have great field position. We couldn't have wrote this script any better for what Coleman needed to do to start this second half. They come out. They have a good defensive stand. They force Decatur into a three-and-out situation. Now they get the ball back at their 47, 48-yard line in Red Raider territory. They can get some points on the board, get this team fired up. We're going to have us one whale of a second half.
It'll be a wild finish if the Bearcats can start putting some points on the board. It's 1st and 10 Bearcats now from the Red Raider 43-yard line. Two receivers to the far side of the field, one to the near side. Two backs in the backfield beside Crocker. Drake goes in motion to the far side, straight ahead, hand off to Crocker. Running room 40, 35, 30, all the way down to the 28-yard line is Will Crenshaw.
Crenshaw, he faked the handoff to number 12, Dawson Drake, takes the ball out of his hand, sticks it in Crenshaw's gut, and he barrels forward for a huge gain on first down, all the way down 1st and 10 at the 30-yard line.
And the Bearcats back to the line again, exact same play, big hole, Crocker across the 20, down to the 19-yard line, the best two offensive plays the Bearcats have had tonight, just a simple motion and straight ahead handoff to Crocker.
Yeah, Tommy, you said
I'm
it
sorry, Crenshaw.
Tommy said it perfectly, it's the same exact play. And I wouldn't surprise me if they ran it again right here. Coach Britton's notorious for if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So it's 1st and 10 Bearcats now from the 18. Same motion, same inside handoff to Will Crenshaw. And boy, this time the Red Raiders knew it. You run it three times in a row, they're going to be all over it. And they were that time. No gain that time for Crenshaw as he's hit right about the 19-yard line.
That play calling right there reminds me of an old song. Two out of three ain't bad.
So it's 2nd down and 10 for the Bearcats now from the 19-yard line of the Red Raiders. There's two receivers split to the far side of the field. Bronte Harris and Will Crenshaw in the backfield. Bronte from the Wildcat hands it off to Crenshaw. Big hole, 10, 5, running down to near the goal line. They're going to mark him down at the 1-yard line.
Oh, that's horrible, ref. He fell into the end zone. Boo. Crenshaw that time, he takes the handoff from Bronte Harris, who comes in from time to time to run what we call that wildcat position. And they're going to bring in big old number 7, Justin Patterson, in to run fullback position. I bet he gets the football and leans forward. Yep, he does. Got a 1-yard touchdown run by Will Crocker.
Touchdown, Bearcats. So with 8:19 left to go in the third quarter, a straight-ahead quarterback sneak from Ross Crocker, and the Bearcats take the football and drive down the field and get some points on the board. And it looks like they may be lining up to go for two as we've got a 16-point deficit. They're going to try to cut this in half right now and go for two and make it 8.
Now, don't see a kicker on the field. Matthew Bell, he's nowhere to be seen, so looks like they're going to go for two. I'll cut this lead in half. Like Tommy said, it'll be 16-8 if they can convert here.
A bunch formation. Crocker from the shotgun, hands it off to Crenshaw, and he's going to be caught in the backfield. The two-point conversion's not going to be successful. So, clock is stopped with 8:19 left to go in the third quarter, but the Bearcats are on the board. It's 16-6 Decatur leading the Bearcats here from Oliver Woodard Stadium.
Tommy, they did exactly what we thought we might see coming out in the second half. I mean, I know we don't have a magic wand or a crystal ball up here. It's not a secret that, you know, what they're going to have to do to come back and get in this ball game, try to pull out this win tonight. But what does happen is you know what they have to do, and they actually came out and executed and did exactly what they needed to get back into this ball game.
That makes you think that halftime talk might have questioned some of their manhood, because these Bearcats came out, played excellent defense, and they got the ball on offense, and they basically just ran the ball right down the throat of the Red Raiders and into the end zone. So
whatever they said to them at halftime, they need to say it to them again, because the defense came out and played lights out that time, and the offense moved very effectively. So I'd get them huddled up over here on the side, and I don't know, tell them once again, same thing. Bearcats set to kick off here as the Red Raiders have number 10 deep to receive. That's Terry Green. He is flanked on this near side. Looks like number 21, Tay Hayes, back there with him.
Matthew Bell kicks a high kick. It's going to hit right about the 22-yard line. Be run back there by Trey. That's Trey Hayes, and Trey gets it back across the 35 out to about the 38-yard line.
Trey and Tay's parents couldn't want to make anybody more tongue-tied. If they knew these boys were going to be this good at playing football, they should have named them Pete and Repeat or John and Jack or something. But Tay and Trey,
I guess that way if they call them to go do some cleaning up around the house, they can just say what name, both guys will come running.
Yeah, T. Hayes, go do that. They both do it.
First and 10, Decatur now from their own 38-yard line. They lead Coleman by 6. It's 16-6 Decatur. From the shotgun, McCollum fakes it to his running back, wants to throw. He's in trouble.
That's Patterson.
Patterson's got him in the backfield.
Justin Patterson, whatever they told him at halftime, man, he is playing like his hair's on fire right now. Got into the backfield, dropped him, McCollum, for a loss that time of about 3 yards. That's his second sack this half so far, and we're not even halfway through the third quarter.
Second down and 13 now for Decatur. Ball's on their own 35-yard line. McCollum wants to throw again. Patterson's in the backfield, pressured him, but he gets it away to Buchanan, and Buchanan's got running room out across the 40 to the 43-yard line. He picks up about 8 yards, but he's still going to be shy.
Got a
first down. Now we've got a fight on the field, folks. This is not pretty.
Can't tell whether the Decatur players are trying to corral their own player and get him off the field.
That's Tyree Buchanan. I don't know if he didn't think he was down and kept fighting, but there were...
Coaches need to do something about that. I mean, now our own players are throwing him down on the field. He takes his helmet off. He needs to be ejected from this football game. That is ridiculous. Now the coach has to come out and drag him off the field. I mean, if he is not ejected from this football game, I will be appalled.
The coaching staff of the Bearcats bringing their entire team to the sideline, getting them away from any of the action that may have been going on the field, and two, continuing to coach these guys up as they have come out this second half, and they put the wood to the Red Raiders. One, they put the wood to them, hitting them, running the ball down their throat, hitting them defensively, and now looks like they've got the Red Raiders a little bit out of their composure, and the penalty backs the football up to right about the 31-yard line, but I don't know if they've marked the penalty off just yet.
They marked it. Well, I tell you what they need to do. They need to go over and get number one, Tyree Buchanan, and tell him to get his butt to the locker room. There is no excuse for that kind of behavior on a football field, especially when you're the visitor. You come in here and try to start a fight, and then fighting with your own teammates.
Yeah, the teammates were trying to corral him, get him off the field, and he was waylaying at them. So nonetheless, it's third down and long. Handoff this time goes to that's Terry Green, and Green gets back up to midfield. He's got a first down and more flags.
Another
back at the 40-yard line.
I mean, the officials are going to have to call a conference right now because this ball game's about to get out of hand. Well, what's happened is Coleman has started to rattle these players, and now they're trying to take it out of their aggression out here on the field. But I got news for them. They're in the wrong part of town to be starting fights around here. That is for sure. Because that's going to move them back again from the spot of the foul, 15 yards. That's going to negate that first down, 17-yard first down pickup, and move them back.
The officials are huddling at the 43-yard line. The Red Raiders came way downfield, way away from the play. There were one or two Red Raiders just jumping on one of the Bearcat players down about the 40-yard line, and that's what the flags are for. No indication yet, but from our best vantage point, that's probably going to be the call as another unsportsmanlike against the Red Raiders. And just what Jason said, the Bearcats have rattled them.
They called that on number 5, Chase Slocum for Coleman. You've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me.
He looked like he was the one.
He was the one that got thrown down. So. The crowd is finally starting to get into it for all the wrong reasons,
and we're a little bit baffled here as we can see it. We try to describe it to you as best as we see the action, and then when a call goes the opposite way, it kind of takes us by surprise. It's hard to see if they're calling personal foul against the Bearcats. We don't have the luxury of backing it up or watching it again to go tell you what happened, and our apologies for that. But nonetheless, they're going to mark off a 15-yard penalty against the Bearcats now, and that's going to push the football down to the 35-yard line. Still, the officials are yet to come over, talk to Coach Britton or talk to Coach Adcock or call these players aside. Okay, now they're correcting the call. They marked unsportsmanlike conduct, personal foul against the Bearcats. Now they're going to walk it back the opposite direction. Rather than just say, hey, it's offsetting penalties, they mark it off against the Bearcats, and now they walk it all the way back to midfield against the Red Raiders. It'll be offsetting personal fouls. But again, the point I'm trying to stress is they haven't talked to either coaching staff or they haven't talked to these players and said, look, guys, we want you to play football. We want you to be physical. But you've got to tone down this unsportsmanlike conduct that's happening on the football field.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. There shouldn't be offsetting penalties, period. I mean, the crowd is upset. I mean, they even got my blood boiling up here because that was ridiculous.
First and 10 for the Red Raiders now. And it looks like they're going to get offsides against the Bearcats as the center got pushed back on his backside before he snapped the football. So that'll give Decatur back 5 yards to put the football down at the 45-yard line. It'll be first down and 5 for Decatur now from the Bearcat 45-yard line. They'll send one receiver to the far side, 2 to the near side. McCollum, the quarterback, in the backfield. He has 2 backs in the backfield with him. He takes his time, lets the play clock run. Hard snap count. Now he's going to look to the sideline and change his play as the play clock is only down to about 10 seconds. First and 5. Gets a snap now. Hands it off straight ahead, running this time again to Green. And Green's wrapped up. He might have got a yard, but this Bearcat defense is really pawing and grabbing at him now.
Yeah, he tried to run that ball off tackle on this side here. And number 26, Connor Moon, had a little bit something in mind that he didn't feel like he wanted to let him get any more yardage that time. And he came up and laid the lumber. You're going to start hearing the pads hitting and the helmets hitting a lot harder after you have a heated exchange like that, because they'll be starting to take out some aggressions. Probably not going to draw any flags, but they're going to start hitting a little bit harder, I guarantee you.
Second down and 4 for the Red Raiders now from the Bearcat 43-yard line. From the shotgun, McCollum hands it off to Green again. Big hole, 40, 35, spinning down to the 30, still on his feet, breaking tackles to the 29. And he's finally going to be corralled by a host of Bearcats about the 28-yard line. And now more flags come flying in. The only possible thing they could call there is the fact that there were 5 or 6 Bearcats wrapping up the player. Now, granted, we didn't hear a whistle blow, but maybe the official wanted him to stop pushing him backwards before he did. But
that happens every football game. I mean, you got 5 guys gang tackling somebody, and they finally push him back. One of them stumbles, and they all fall down.
So they'll mark off 15 yards against the Bearcats.
Personal foul.
And okay, face mask is a call. That's better off than just pushing a pile back. I can
live with that.
Face mask. First and 10 for the Red Raiders now from the Bearcat 15-yard line. From the shotgun, McCollum, low snap, picks it up, hands it off to Green again, and Green's going to be sacked in the backfield. Purifoy is the one that got him in the backfield behind the line. Not actually a sack, but he was able to grab the running back down behind the line of scrimmage. Good play that time by Blake Purifoy.
Yeah, Blake Purifoy plays that defensive lineman position there, 5'11", 265 pounds, and he is quick as a cat. He busted through the line and grabbed the run back and just drug him to the ground by his jersey for about a 1-yard loss. It's going to be second down and 11 as the clock ticks away, 5:15 to go in the third quarter. Decatur knocking on the door here again, up 16-6.
And just grinding out clock two as they do on their drive. A bobble snap, but he's able to gain control of it, hands it off to Littrell. And Lips will run straight ahead behind Frazier and Emerson. It gets down to right about the 12-yard line.
Littrell comes up the 12-yard line as Connor Moon comes and fills the hole, makes a great form tackle there, just brings him to the ground, sets up third down in about eight. But, you know, Tommy, they're inside the 20-yard line, and so you gotta feel like if they don't get it here, you're going to see Francisco Tirado come out for another three-point attempt.
Third down and eight, a hard snap count coming from McCollum, trying to draw the Bearcats offside. He's not able to do so, and Decatur wants to take a timeout. Jerry Adcock wants to talk to his offense, so there's timeout on the field with 4:27 left in the third quarter. Our score, Decatur 16 and the Coleman Bearcats 6. Special thank you to 157 Hardware, Joe Coretti Auto Service, Specialty Pharmacy, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, AK Reynolds, Fuller Optical, Scissor Salon, Odin's Auto Glass, Morton Buildings, Good Hope Pharmacy, Cyber Broadband, and Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency. All proud sponsors of Friday Night Live each and every Friday night. Make sure and stop by these businesses and tell them thank you for making Friday Night Live possible each and every Friday night here on Coleman's Live 95. I'm Tommy Warhurst alongside Jason Coretti, and you're listening to Friday Night Live on WRJMLP Coleman. We are Coleman's independent radio. And next week, we'll be coming to you from Muscle Shoals as the Coleman Bearcats travel up to play the Trojans next week in another 6A Region 8 battle right here on Friday Night Live. Next Friday night, beginning at 6:40 right here on Live 95. Third down and eight for Decatur now from the Bearcat 12-yard line. Receiver split to either side. McCollum fakes a handoff. Bearcats are pressuring him. He fires incomplete. Intended for Quentin Duper right about the 4-yard line. Good pressure again by the defensive man of the third quarter, Justin Patterson.
Justin Patterson, like I said before, playing like his hair's on fire. He gets into the backfield, forces quarterback McCollum to make an early throw. The ball bounces about 3 yards in front of the receiver, and you can credit all that play breaking down to the great pursuit by number 7, Justin Patterson. Can't say enough about this young man. He's a junior. He's 6'2", 215 pounds, and he gets around the football field as good as anybody I've ever seen.
Field goal attempt from Francisco Tirado is up, and this one's good. It's been automatic all night long, so with 4 minutes, the clock is still running, and no one noticed it finally stopped. 4 minutes, 7 seconds left in the third quarter. It is 19-6 Decatur leading the Coleman Bearcats.
Anytime you see number 97 come out onto the field, if he's on your side of the 50, look out. He's probably going to kick it right down Main Street. Francisco Tirado, there's a reason, folks, that this young man is being touted as one of the best kickers in the state, probably one of the best kickers in the nation, already Division I prospect. And if you saw what we're seeing tonight, you'd know why.
Well, in pregame, like you mentioned, he was teed it up from the 42 and the 43-yard line, making field goals, and that's a pretty good leg for a high school senior. He's listed as 6 foot, 140 pounds, so it's all whip action, just like a little guy swinging his driver, knocking it down the fairway about 300 yards. That's what Francisco does with his field goals. At the end of the third quarter, Vinemont leads Susan Moore 27-14. And I thought we had one more. Addison trails Tarrant by a score of 14-7 late in the third quarter. Here it's 19-6, Red Raiders over the Bearcats, but the Bearcats are receiving a kickoff at the 10. It's Bronte Harris to the 20, to the 25, breaking tackles, and out to the 30-yard line is Bronte Harris.
Bronte Harris just brought the ball right back up the middle of the field. Harris. Decatur had good pursuit that time. Coleman not able to kind of get that wedge going and open up a hole enough big enough for him to run through. Nevertheless, he gets out to the 30-yard line. Bearcats have great starting field position here as they go to work in the third quarter with 3:56 to go, trailing 19-6 to the Decatur Red Raiders.
One more score from the area late in the third quarter. Good Hope 35, DAR 14. First and 10 Bearcats from their own 30-yard line. Will Crenshaw takes a handoff from Ross Crocker, and he's hit after a gain of about 2 yards. A good, hard driving run from Crenshaw gets a couple of yards out to the 32-yard line.
Crenshaw just hits the middle of the field there, hits the middle of the line, goes off tackle, following the big guys down right in the middle there. You got the big offensive lineman Ben Johnson, Tyler Nunley, Daniel Hunter, Justin Butts, and Jacob Mills trying to clear the way for Crenshaw.
On second down and eight, Crocker hands off to Crenshaw, who tosses back to Owen Lovell on a reverse. Lovell turns the corner, gets across the 35 and out to the 37-yard line. a pickup of right about 5 yards on that play. So here we're going to have another big third down, Jason. Third down and a long three for the Bearcats.
I'm surprised we're not seeing the heavy package come in like they did down on the goal line. They bring in a couple of these defensive linemen in the backfield and just muscle the football down the field. That time, that last play, though, great-looking reverse play ran by Owen Lovell. He had one man to beat on the far side, or he'd still be running for the end zone.
Third down and three, two receivers split to either side. Drake comes in motion to the near side, toss to Owen Lovell. He's got the first down and more at midfield.
Lovell lined up in the slot right here on the hash marks on the near side of the field as Coleman works right to left as you listen. And he was right on the hash marks. He takes about three steps, cuts it inside on a quick slant ramp to the middle of the field. And Crocker hit him in stride, able to get to the 50-yard line where they set up first and down with 2:47 to go in the third.
Bearcats working quick now. Hand off to Crenshaw. He's got five. Oh, loses the football. And it looks like initially the Red Raiders may have it at the 49-yard line. Crenshaw was hit hard, and he's still down on the turf at the 45-yard line. The players are motioning for somebody to get out there and check on him. The football came bouncing out, and the Red Raiders fell on it at the 49-yard line. But our concern right now remains to be on Will Crenshaw, who's down at the 45-yard line.
Well, I think he got he must have got his bell rung. I see him moving around now. At first, he was not moving at all. So let's see what the officials and the medical staff do down here on the field.
Crenshaw is actually setting up now on the field, and like Jason mentioned, he was kind of motionless there to begin with, and he may have been knocked out momentarily because the players are motioning for someone to get out there on the field and check on him. And he's walking off now under his own power, but he's getting a little bit of assistance, and now he's buckling back down to his knees. And he really took a shot, folks. I'm telling you, that's what made that football come popping out.
He was leaning forward, and his head was almost to the ground like he was going down, and then a Decatur player came in from the backside and put a helmet right in his rib cage, it looked like, and that's what forced that ball out. But not concerned with the fumble, just going to make sure Mr. Crenshaw is okay as they tend to him down here on the sideline.
So it's first and 10 Red Raiders now from their own 49-yard line. They hand it off on a sweep to Tay Hayes. And Hayes gets across midfield, breaks a couple tackles, and scampers down to the 40-yard line before he's knocked out of bounds. He's going to have another Red Raider first down into Bearcat territory at the 40.
Yeah, he was able to escape. Justin Patterson was in hot pursuit that time. Almost had him. He broke a tackle on the far side, and Sam Caligaris able to round him up as he goes out of bounds. On the far side, looks like about the 42-yard line. So it's going to be second down and short as the Red Raiders move into Coleman territory here again.
Second down and inches for the first down for Decatur now from the Bearcat 41-yard line. A hard snap count, and once again it's able to draw the Bearcats offsides.
Yeah, this is the point of the game where it's a crucial turning point. You have a turnover. You give up big plays, a big play there on first down, and then now you shoot yourself in the foot with a penalty jumping offsides there as McCollum has done this all night long, those hard snap counts. He keeps drawing Coleman offside, so that's going to give him an automatic first down as they move deeper into Coleman territory. Ball resting on the 39-yard line.
McCollum under center, hands off to Littrell, just running straight ahead behind his big offensive line. He picks up about 3 yards down to the Bearcat 33-yard line.
Yep, just not changing the script much. Hand the ball off to the running back, send him down the field right in the center. You notice the play clock starts, the game clock's running. Play clock's at 18. My guess is they'll probably snap the ball somewhere around the 4, 3, 4, 5 second mark on the play clock. They're not getting in any hurry to get this ball moving.
From the shotgun, McCollum fires complete on the far side of the field to Stevenson, and he stopped immediately. A good tackle made out there that time by Zach Glenn on the far side of the field for the Bearcats.
I will say this. I've not seen number one come back into the game.
Pass is complete.
So I guess his behavior is being reprimanded on the far sidelines, and that's a good thing.
Sega, third down and short. They'll call it third down and inches now for Decatur from the Bearcat 27-yard line. McCollum will line up under center, two receivers to the near side, one to the far side as they work from left to right toward the south end zone here at Oliver Woodard Stadium. An I formation behind McCollum. Straight ahead running to the fullback, that's Hayes. And Hayes gets the first down and a couple of yards to boot all the way down to the 22-yard line.
It looks like he was stopped there by Can't make it. Connor Moon. And the young man's bending down. I can't get his jersey number, but Connor Moon in on that stop there as one of the Hayes twins runs the football right up the middle, picks up a first down. They're in business now at the 22-yard line, moving left to right on the far hash. And clock just keeps ticking away here in the third quarter.
First and 10, Decatur from the Bearcat 23-yard line. McCollum under center, hands off straight ahead to his big fullback. That's Trey Hayes. Hayes is rambling down to the 5, still spins and gets inside the 5 to about the 4-yard line. Just straight ahead running from Hayes. He's a senior, 6'205", and kind of a beast running the football for the Red Raiders.
We mentioned earlier in the broadcast, young man's been starting at middle linebacker on defense since he was in the 8th grade. And if you're going to be playing as an 8th grader out there with the seniors and juniors and sophomores, you got to be pretty tough, and he's showing that toughness right here on this drive.
Hayes takes a handoff again, and this time he's stuffed right about the line of scrimmage. Two or three Bearcats in there making a stop. It looks like leading the charge might have been Hunter Brandon that time.
Yeah, Hunter Brandon in that stop. He's playing that nose tackle position. Him and Purefoy both got in there on the play and wrapped him up, drove him back just outside of the 5-yard line. Ball resting at the 6, and it's second and goal.
Second down and goal for Decatur now from the Bearcat 6-yard line. Slot to the near side. They toss it back in the backfield, trying to turn the corner, and he's not going to make it. There's two or three Bearcats wrapping him up. 22 is leading the charge. What a big stop that time by Dalton Yerby and two or three of his buddies on that Bearcat defense.
Justin Patterson had him around the ankles, and Yerby came up from his defensive back position and just punished his runner. Dropped him down there. He didn't pick up any yards, so it's going to be third down from the 6-yard line.
It'll be third down and goal for Decatur when the fourth quarter starts. As the third quarter comes to a close, our score, Decatur 19 and the Coleman Bearcats 6. I'm Tommy Warhurst alongside Jason Coretti. Glad you're with us here on Friday Night Live on Live 95 WRJMLP Coleman, as we do each and every Friday night, bringing you the best high school football action from in and around Coleman. Next Friday night, we'll follow the Bearcats up to Muscle Shoals as they take on the Trojans in another key 6A Region 8 battle. Airtime will be 6:40 next Friday night right here on Live 95. Also, if you can't listen locally, a lot of you may be listening tonight via the TuneIn radio app or the live stream. I've seen some posts tonight for folks asking, hey, where else can we hear you if we're out of town? You can spread the word. You can always listen to us at www.live95coleman.com on the live stream. Or you can use your smartphone and download the TuneIn radio app. Just search for WRJMLP Coleman, and you can listen to us anywhere in the world via the TuneIn radio app or the live stream here on Friday Night Live.
Well, Tommy, 12 minutes to go, fourth quarter. Bearcats looking to hold here on defense. If they can get a stop right now, force Francisco back out to kick another field goal, that puts them at 22-6. Game's still not out of reach for Coleman. If they can come out and play in this fourth quarter like they started the third quarter.
They need another big drive like they had before. Inside shuttle pass this time to Littrell, and Littrell's into the end zone for the Red Raider touchdown. Nothing fancy. Just a straight-ahead shovel pass, and Littrell found a big hole and got into the end zone.
Yeah, the high snap on that play, I was kind of concerned that it might be might not be able to get the exchange away, but nevertheless, he's able to get that ball down and flip it forward there for a little 6-yard touchdown run.
Francisco Tirada comes on to attempt the extra point. The snap, the place, the kick is up, and it's good. So with 11:51 left to play in the ball game, it's a 20-point Decatur lead over the Bearcats. 26-6, our score. Special thanks to the fine folks who bring you Friday Night Live each and every Friday night here on Coleman's Live 95. Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, AK Rentals, Alpha Insurance Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware, proud sponsors of Friday Night Live each and every Friday night here on Coleman's Live 95.
The usual suspects back to receive for Coleman. You got Caden Wynn on the far side. You got Bronte Harris lined up. He's about the 6 yard line, dead center of the field. He's flanked all the way up the field by a couple of different Bearcats. See if they kick off deep to Bronte Harris again like they did the last time.
And he does. Michael Limbaugh kicks this one deep. It's taken by Caden Wynn at the 10. Back to the 15. Dancing out to the 20 and to the 23-yard line is Caden Wynn. So that's where the Bearcats will put it in play. First and 10 from their own 23-yard line, trailing Decatur by 20 points. We've got 11:40 left to play in the ballgame.
You know, it's 20-point deficit right now, but the way this Coleman offense, they're explosive at times, and if they could get a couple quick scores here, try to get the ball back on defense, they cannot allow Decatur to get the ball and just hang on and hang on and hang on and kill the clock, which is what they've done the entire game. We'll see what Coleman's game plan is here in the fourth quarter.
On first and 10, inside handoff running across the 25 out to maybe the 30-yard line. Looks like, I want to say, I thought it was Michael Aldehaley.
That is, that's Crenshaw back in the game, isn't it?
And now he trots back off the field, and they'll send in another wide receiver. Crenshaw, they'll send three wide receivers to the far side, two to the near side.
Well, he lumbered off the field earlier. I didn't see we'd see him back this soon. Crenshaw showing his toughness, getting out there and getting the ball down the field.
And a high snap, it bounces off of Crocker's face mask, but he's able to haul it in and fall back on it right about the line of scrimmage. So not much doing on that play. And yeah, it's very good to see Will Crenshaw trotting back onto the football field. I was like you, Jason. I thought he really, really took a big shot and may have injured his middle area, or actually you know, had a concussion or so forth the way he was coming off the football field. Good to see Crenshaw back on the field. It's third down and 4 now for the Bearcats. A huge third down here from their own 20. Actually, they'll put it down right about the 30-yard line.
Bronte Harris checks in at quarterback this time as Ross Crocker came off the field.
And Bronte Harris running the Wild Bearcat. He's got the first down out to the 37-yard line. And another penalty flag comes in across the way right about the 40-yard line near the end of that play.
Yeah, that was that's going to be a dead ball penalty of some sort, but I can't tell who it's on. The Coleman player was laying on his back. They haven't signaled yet, but he had already made the first down, and it was a dead ball foul. So either way, it's still going to be first down if it's against Coleman, or, and they're going to call it against Coleman, personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct, they're going to back him up 15 yards, but it, like I said, it will still be first down. It'll just be back 5 yards deeper than what they originally started.
Yeah, they just lose the yardage after a big play. They get a personal foul and lose the yardage, and it pushes them back to the 23-yard line. So Bronte Harris stays in at quarterback. He'll have two receivers to the near side. And one back, it looks like Will Crenshaw standing next to him in the backfield. Bronte sends Drake in motion to the far side of the field, fakes a handoff to him, and hands it off up the middle to Crenshaw. And Crenshaw gets across the 25 and right out to about the 27-yard line.
Good hard running that time by Crenshaw. He took the handoff from Bronte Harris, cut across the inside, almost like a counter gaps play, and leans forward out to the 27, 28-yard line, sets up second down and about six here to go as the clock ticks away with 9:48 to go left in the game.
Bronte Harris still in at quarterback. He'll keep it himself this time. Run off left tackle. And he may, actually he's going to pick up some good yardage. He picks up about three. Didn't look like there was very much doing there at all. But he's actually going to pick up about 3 yards out to about the 31-yard line. So this will bring up third down and one for the Bearcats from their own 32-yard line.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to be stopped right at the line of scrimmage. Bronte Harris just fought, got a little further down the field. Sets up third down and one from the 32-yard line.
Harris from the shotgun. Hands it off to Dawson Drake, trying to turn the far corner, and Drake's knocked down in the backfield. He actually loses a couple of yards. So on third down and one, they lose a couple, and now it's going to be fourth down and maybe even a real long three or maybe even 4 yards, depending on where they spot Dawson Drake out of bounds.
You're going to spot him at the 29-yard line. I can't tell. There was a penalty flag down over there. I don't know if he was just marking the ball where he went out of bounds or what. Personal foul against Decatur. So, hey.
The Bearcats will take him any way they can get him now.
I tell you, I can't remember a game having this many personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conducts. I know we've not called one so far. I can't remember watching an NFL or a college game that had this many personal fouls in it so far.
It's first and 10 for the Bearcats from their own 43-yard line. Bronte Harris still in at quarterback from the shotgun now. He'll take the direct snap and run straight ahead. And he gets about 3 yards across the 45 out to about the 46-yard line. Kind of surprising we don't see Ross Crocker throwing the football. I'm really surprised we do have Bronte Harris in there running the Wildcat here with 8 minutes left in the ballgame at a 20-point deficit.
Yeah, it's a little strange, but when Crocker came off the field, he came off kind of slow. So I don't know if he may be having some sort of a nagging little problem that it is keeping him on the sideline, or they just decided to change directions to go with Bronte. See if they can change it up a little bit here in the fourth quarter.
Bronte Harris again from the shotgun runs straight ahead and dances across midfield and down to the 47-yard line. He's got, well, initially they signaled a first down, but now they're going to mark him about a half a yard shy. The official on the near side of the field was pointing first down, but the umpire at the middle of the field is going to take a timeout and actually measure this one. It's really, really close. It looks like he may have it from this angle just by the nose of the football, but again, we're setting right about the 40-yard line, looking slightly to our left, back up to about the 47-yard line on the far side of the field where the ball is placed.
By the way the ball's resting right there, if they snip, looks like it's going to be a first down, Tommy. Glad they measured.
About half the length of the football. The official on the near side of the field was signaling first down, but then the other officials looked like they were spotting the ball back for play, and finally, the umpire said, no, we'll take a look at this, and we'll measure it, and they did. It's first and 10 Bearcats, 8 minutes, 24 seconds left to play in the ball game. The Bearcats trail the Red Raiders by 20. It's 26-6, Decatur leading Coleman. Bronte Harris into quarterback, running the Wild Bearcat now. Hands it off running straight ahead as Will Crenshaw, and he's hit right about the 45. Give him credit for about 2 yards. Good hard running from Will Crenshaw.
Yeah, Crenshaw coming in, and just it's amazing that he's back and running as hard as he is from the way the injury looked a while ago. But nevertheless, he is just banging the ball in there. Good hard running that time right up the middle of the field. Crenshaw's are going to have about second down and about 7 yards here. Bronte Harris still working that Bearcat Wildcat position.
Bronte fakes the handoff to Dawson Drake coming in motion and hands it back off to Will Crenshaw running off left tackle, and he gets down to right about near the 40-yard line, between the 40 and the 41, another 3-yard gain from Will Crenshaw. So this will bring up third down and 4 now for the Bearcats. Clock running, 7 minutes, 20 seconds left to play. The Bearcats trail by 20, and surprisingly, Jason, they don't seem to be in a hurry.
There is no sense of urgency on the field right now, and I was just about to make that comment. They're running this ball like they've got a comfortable lead. If you're going to make some explosive noise here on offense, you're going to have to start throwing the ball or making some big plays running. That time, well, Bronte Harris that time did. He able to pick up a first down, which will stop the clock momentarily while they move the chains. But Harris just takes the ball and running that Wild Bearcat position. we have finally named that position. I was calling it the Wildcat, but it's the Wild Bearcat.
It's the Wild Bearcat here. Ross Crocker checks back in at quarterback, and he'll bring Mason Goodwin with him as a good offensive charge from Bronte Harris gets the Bearcats into Red Raider territory at the 35-yard line. First and 10 Bearcats. Two receivers to either side now. Crenshaw, the lone back beside Crocker. He'll actually line up in a pistol formation right behind Crocker. Crocker fakes it to him and wants to throw. He loads, pump fakes. Now he's in trouble. He's going to be sacked at the 40-yard line. He was trying to catch Mason Goodwin running a post, but the Red Raiders had excellent defense and also good pursuit in the backfield.
Yeah, the pocket just collapsed on Crocker that time, and he takes a 5-yard loss back to the 40 as he's sacked there on first down. Second down at 15, and that's not the direction they need to be going to try to get back in this ball game late. We got about half the fourth quarter left. It's not unheard of, but every time that clock ticks, it's getting a little bit less and less of a chance of it happening.
On second down and long, screen pass trying to catch Crenshaw, and this one was sniffed out by the Red Raiders.
Yeah, number 3 that time, John Reel, he came up, and he saw what was happening. They tried to set up a little screenplay there, and he actually went up and had his hands on the football. It looks like Crenshaw just took the ball away from him. and broke up what would have definitely been an interception. But Crenshaw able to muscle that ball away from John Reed.
Surprisingly, one name we have not mentioned all night tonight is being a playmaker on the offense, because he is a playmaker. That's the name of Seth Donaldson. He's been covered well all night tonight. Hasn't really been able to get the football to him. Crocker wants to throw now on third down and long. Throws across the middle of the field. It's caught by Owen Lovell for a first down, and running all the way down to the 20-yard line is Owen Lovell. He's had a couple of good catches tonight, and that one right there on a key third down conversion for the Bearcats.
Yeah, you say anything about a playmaker, and number one, Owen Lovell has to come to mind. He comes from a good football family, and let me tell you, he's following in the footsteps of his dad, Donovan, out here on the field tonight as he's making big plays when they need him.
First and 10, Bearcats pump fake. Crocker throws for the end zone. It is intended for Mason Goodwin. Goodwin made the catch right in the end zone, but they're going to say he was out of bounds in the end zone. Just a high fade pass from Ross Crocker to Mason Goodwin. Great pitch and catch, but incomplete because he was out of bounds.
Just floated a little bit, and a good catch that time by Goodwin. But like you said, Tommy, comes down with a foot out of bounds. So it'll be second down and 10. Does stop the clock with 4:55 to go. Coleman trails Decatur 26-6 here in the fourth. As Coleman's desperate for a score here and late in the fourth quarter.
From the Red Raider 22-yard line, working toward the south end zone. Crocker throws complete to Lovell at the 10, running down to the 5, to the 2, all the way down to the 1-yard line. Owen Lovell dragging Red Raiders with him for the Bearcat first down. First and goal, Bearcats.
Owen Lovell caught that football. He had two tacklers on his back, folks, and he drug them down to the 2-yard line. I mean, that was a good 8, 9, 10 yards that he had two tacklers wrapped around him, and he just would not give up, would not go down, and made one incredible football play.
On first down and goal, straight ahead handoff, has nothing doing there that time as the Red Raiders stiff it out, and Will Crenshaw, boy, he's been a workhorse tonight for the Bearcats. He's been beat up. He takes that handoff, and he's slow getting up off the turf that time. In fact, he's going to come to the sideline, and Bronte Harris is going to check back in for the Bearcats.
Bronte Harris is going to dot the I this time. They've got their heavy package in there. I believe that's number 7, Justin Patterson. He'll line up behind Crocker.
The toss goes to Bronte Harris. He breaks one tackle about the 6, and then he's finally brought down right about the 4-yard line.
Yeah, he was just following the blocks. And Justin Patterson, that time, as he lined up at fullback at number 26 as well. That's Connor Moon. Comes in, and when they bring that, like I said, I like to call it the heavy package, because you got some bigger guys in the backfield leading the way on blocks, and just not able to get around the corner and pick up much, if anything. The ball rests just inside the 5-yard line, so it's third down and goal. 4 minutes to go. Coleman takes a timeout, trailing 26-6 here in the fourth. Yeah, let's see if we got some more scores here. Get the old computer fired up and see if we can find out what's going on with the Hartsville-Florence game, and possibly get some information on that on the Athens-Austin game as well. Hartsville-Florence, we know what's going on here, and like I said, Muscle Shoals is off tonight. So
4 minutes left to play in this one, and the Bearcats are down 20 points. It's 26-6 Decatur. As Jason mentioned, next week we'll be on the road to Muscle Shoals as the Bearcats travel up there to wind up their 6A Region 8 play next week against the Trojans. We'll be on the air at 6:40 for Friday Night Live next week as the Bearcats and the Trojans battle it out from Muscle Shoals. It's third down and goal for the Bearcats now from the Red Raider 5-yard line. Two receivers to the far side, one to the near side for the Bearcats. Crenshaw, the lone back. Crenshaw takes a handoff. Now he gives it back to Owen Lovell on a reverse. He gets a block from Mason Goodwin and is going to be run out of bounds about the 2-yard line. Boy, it looked like it was setting up to be a touchdown reverse. What a great block from Mason Goodwin to spring Owen Lovell all the way down to about the 2.5-yard line.
Yeah, Owen Lovell had a head of steam built up, but he had three defenders in his way, and they forced him out of bounds over here about the 2.5-yard line. It's go time, folks. It's fourth down and 2.5 to go. 3:50 here in the fourth.
Crocker
lines up in a bunch set this time.
Crocker from the shotgun. Sends Donaldson in motion to the far side. He's going to give it to Crenshaw, trying to get to the goal line that way. Crenshaw's fighting and squirming, and he gets to the 1. And the Red Raiders are going to hold the Bearcats Crenshaw out of the end zone. And the Red Raiders will take over on down. First down and goal from their own one.
Yeah, he so tried close. To stretch that play off. They were lined up to the near hash mark on the two-and-a-half-yard line. He was trying to stretch that play around. They didn't have enough blockers out there to really spring him. He could have stretched that even further to the pylon, but they just couldn't get that seal block on the far side of the field. And Crenshaw goes down there at the one. Let's see what the defense can do here. Maybe possibly get a sack in the end zone here for a safety and get the ball back.
A good drive by the Bearcats just falls a little bit short on the one-yard line. So from the one, Decatur hands it off to their big fullback. That's Trey Hayes, and Hayes barrels all the way out to the 10-yard line.
Now Hayes goes down there just shy of the 10, able to give him a little bit of breathing room here as Hayes just powers his way out there. They had him in the backfield. He broke a tackle and just squirted away and picks up about 8 yards that time. Sets up second down and two as the clock ticks away. And I promise you, Decatur will not get in a hurry to run the football. They just want to pick up a first down, and then they'll just kill the clock.
You can. That's the way they've been all night long. They've been just slow and methodical about running their offense, and it's proved to be successful for them. Straight ahead dive play this time to Littrell, trying to get to the first down marker, and he is going to be down right about the 12-yard line. That'll be close. They may call for a measurement on this one.
They're going to mark it first down. Chains move, and Decatur with another first down, 12-yard line. Yeah, folks, if you're following along at home, we'll have a little bit of a break in between each snap because Decatur's not going to get in a hurry. They're going to let the play clock run down. It's not changed all night. It's just not much else to talk about, I guess, right now.
First and 10 for Decatur now. They hand it off again straight ahead. That's Trey Hayes, and Hayes gets out to the 20-yard line. Good straight ahead running, 8 yards on the carry for Hayes.
Coach Jerry Adcock, he sends number 11 into the ballgame. That's Jalen Stevenson. And I guarantee he probably told Jalen, he says, if you run out of bounds, you're walking back to the game. Lo and behold, I was wrong. Number one, Tyree Buchanan comes back into the game. I guess they thought he sat out long enough for acting a fool.
Second down and one.
Handoff goes to Tyree Buchanan.
He stacked up right about the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he was stoned right there at the 21-yard line. I think the Bearcats remembered his antics early in the third quarter, and he was met by about six Bearcats right at the line of scrimmage and just drove back best he could be.
So it's third down and short for Decatur, but the bigger factor now is the clock. Getting close to 1 minute left in the ball game and a 26-6 Decatur Red Raider lead.
Yeah, they're still in the huddle with 6 seconds to go on the play clock. They'll rush to the line of scrimmage to get ready to snap it as looks like they're not going to get the play off. But Jerry Adcock on the far side gets a timeout just in time. So here in the fourth quarter, ladies and gentlemen, the Decatur Red Raiders lead Coleman 26-6. There's 59.5 seconds to go. It's third down and one from the 21-yard line. If they can get a first down here, they can just kneel down on the football. If not, they may have to run one more play, but they'd probably just down it on fourth down. But nonetheless, it's not been exactly what Coleman was looking for tonight, Tommy. It's, you know, they're, with all likelihood, you know, with 1 minute to go, they're losing by 20. They're going to move to 2-3 in the region, 4-4 overall. They're going to need a miracle now out of either, you know, Muscle Shoals and Hartsell's losses. They got to go to Muscle Shoals next week. So they go up there, they get a win there, and maybe a loss tonight by Muscle Shoals. You know, stranger things have happened, but they
won't be eliminated, but they're going to have a lot of help from somebody else, including the Austin Black Bears and so forth. And they'll definitely have to win next week, but it'll be a big uphill battle and a lot of other things having to happen.
Oh, but look at
on
there.
Third down and short, a quarterback sneak. McCollum breaks through the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden he is gone. 40, 30, 20, 10, touchdown, Red Raiders. On what was looking like a simple quarterback sneak, no one bothered to wrap him up and knock him to the turf, And all of a sudden, he was standing in the secondary behind the linebackers all by himself and just scampered into the end zone.
79-yard touchdown run that time as they were lined up on the 21. He was just quarterback sneak. Like Tommy said, nobody bothered to wrap him up. He broke into the middle linebackers, and it's like they just looked at each other. He ran past him, and it was a track show from that point on. There wasn't anybody 10 yards away from him as he crossed into the end zone.
Francisco Tirado's extra point is up, and like it has been all night long, it's good. So with 45 seconds left, the Red Raiders tap on another 7 points, and it's 33-6 with 44.6 seconds left in the ballgame.
I have got a feeling, Tommy, I'm going to go out on a limb right now. There's going to be some chewing going on here in about 5 minutes. Because that's unexcusable right there. I mean, you've got to have that play. When that quarterback breaks through, you can't just stand around. The game's not over, but you went from 26-6, a 20-point loss. Now you're 33-6. You know, I don't know. Like we say in life, I guess next week you just back up and punt.
Ron T. Harris will be back to receive the kickoff, standing at his own Caden Wynn, who stands about the 7-yard line on the far side of the field. Michael Limbaugh will kick it away for the Decatur Red Raiders as Francisco Tirado just handles the extra points and the field goes. They let Limbaugh do the kickoff chores. He'll put a boot on it at the 40, and he kicks this one high right down the middle of the field. Bronte's going to take it at the 12. Bronte to the 15, to the 20, 25, and at 2, the 26-yard line.
You know, that's actually a very smart tactic on the part of a team. You've got a kicker like Francisco Tirado that's deadly anytime he gets inside 40 yards with field goals, extra points, what have you. Why risk putting him out on the field for a kickoff? You know, you've got another guy that can really boot the ball. Risk an injury.
Somebody's going to hunt that kicker down and block it because there's always a guy assigned to the kicker.
Yeah.
Who you got? I got the kicker. First and 10 Bearcats from their own 26-yard line. Crocker from the shotgun. Loads, looks way downfield. He's got Seth Donaldson wide open at the 45. Donaldson to the 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Bearcats. We hadn't called his name all night long, and I was wondering, where was Seth Donaldson? When's he going to get the football? And now he gets it on a long touchdown pass for the Bearcats, but unfortunately it just comes a little bit too late in the ballgame.
You know, 24 and a half seconds left in the ballgame. Donaldson goes on a 74-yard touchdown pass from Ross Crocker. And lightning striking here for the Bearcats. It's just a little too late. Looks like they're going to line up for the extra point here.
Well, extra point, another pitch and catch like that one, an onside kick or two, and you never know.
Number 90, Matthew Bell, he sends it right downtown.
Matthew Bell's kick is good. So with 24 and a half seconds left, it is 33-13, Decatur leading the Coleman Bearcats. Seth Donaldson with a touchdown reception from Ross Crocker.
The lady with the T-shirt gun there, man, she's got the air turned up on that baby.
She has loaded that thing a time or two, and it's almost made it up here to the press box.
We keep waving at her.
She's aiming at the window now, but this one's going to be just a little bit shy. She's aiming too high. Lower that thing down a little bit. We may could get us a Bearcat T-shirt.
Lower your trajectory, lady. I want a shirt.
She shot one a moment ago all the way from the middle of the track up to the middle of the walkway behind the bleachers on the south end of the field. So that thing has got some power to it when she'll put the air to it. So.
She put the power to that one and unrolled that T-shirt like a sock monkey, and it didn't make it to the first row of the bleachers.
Bearcat set to kick it away now.
I'd be dangerous with one of those. I'd be putting potatoes in it or something.
Matthew Bell's going to tee it up at the 40. He kind of pooches this one but kicks it right at the Red Raiders, and they call a fair catch down at the 21-yard line.
Yeah, number 10 that time, Terry Green, he just takes it, goes down on a knee, 19.2 seconds to go. They'll bring the offense out onto the field. Decatur will kneel down on it and get out of here with a win tonight. But some fireworks here late in the game made the score a little more interesting than what the game actually sounded, as Decatur tacked on a late touchdown there on that quarterback sneak to go up 33-6, and then Donaldson goes on a 74-yard touchdown pass from Ross Crocker, gets Coleman within 20, so it's 33-13, 19.2 seconds to go for the end of the game. It looks like Decatur lumbers out onto the field, and they're going to have a bunch formation. They've got number two, Alec Marks. He'll come in at quarterback this time. They'll let him kneel down on the football, probably because number 12, Griffin McCollum's out of breath from that long touchdown run a few minutes ago. And that's exactly what they'll do. They'll kneel down on it. Won't have to run another play. So
the Red Raiders kneel on it on first down. That will run the clock down, and this one will come to a close. Your final score, the Decatur Red Raiders 33 and the Coleman Bearcats 13.
Just trying to get a couple updates here while we wait for all the festivities to come to a close and see if we can't bring you a score.
And we'll check some scores from around the area and give you a quick post-game wrap-up when we come back. You're listening to Friday Night Live on Coleman's Live 95.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
If you like personal service and folks who can call you by name, you're going to love the new Good Hope Pharmacy, now open on County Road 437 in Good Hope. Good Hope Pharmacy offers personal service, natural products, dollar items, and more. The all-new Good Hope Pharmacy on County Road 437 in Good Hope. Good Hope Pharmacy, where everybody knows your name. AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon. 734-0038. 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
157 Hardware understands your frustration with long checkout lines and lack of personal service at large home improvement warehouses. That's why, for over 40 years, 157 Hardware has been your local, home-owned hardware store and is an authorized Cub Cadet dealer. Whatever your indoor or outdoor projects entail, Johnny Miller and his team at 157 Hardware are here to personally assist you with all your sales and service needs. 157 Hardware is conveniently located on Highway 157, 1/8 of a mile from the stockyard. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and Saturday, 8 to noon. That's 157 Hardware, your home-owned local hardware store. 256-734-8583.
Back at Oliver Woodard Stadium on the campus of Coleman High School, where the Coleman Bearcats have just gone down to the Decatur Red Raiders by a score of 33-13 in a big 6A Region 8 contest. Kind of not the outcome that we thought we'd see tonight, Jason. But as far as the Red Raiders, they lived up to what they were built to be. That is a scrappy defensive unit and one of them that just pounds the ball out on offense.
Yeah, that's exactly what we saw tonight out of this Decatur team. They were very effective on defense at shutting down this wide-open attack that Coleman likes to bring to the field. And their defense just played stingy football. On the other side of the football, the offense, they were able to get a few early breaks. They got an onside kick, a fake punt. Basically held the ball, I would say, 75% of the first half, keeping the ball away from Coleman's offense, not allowing them to score. And when they did have the football, they were just slow, turtle-paced, getting to the line of scrimmage, letting that clock run off. Speaking of scoring, we've got a couple updates here. I don't know how accurate or how current they are. They're from about 20 minutes ago. Florence leads Hartzell 12-3. And lo and behold, Austin up 10-3 over Athens. So we'll check back before the very end of the broadcast if we can get some better updates, a little more accurate updates. But as the scoring went here tonight, early in the first, with 7:53 to go, number 97, Francisco Automatico Torado, he hits a 42-yard field goal. They lead 3-0. With 4:10 to go in the first, Francisco Automatico Torado hits a 22-yard field goal. They go up 6-0. Then with 48 seconds to go in the first, number 10, Terry Green of the Decatur Red Raiders goes on a 5-yard touchdown scamper. Extra point by Torado was good. They led at that point 13-0. Right before the half, 2:15 to go in the second, Torado hits another 22-yard field goal. They lead 16-0 at the half. Then as we come out to start the third quarter, Ross Crocker on a 1-yard touchdown fake, quarterback keeper goes up the middle, extra point, 2 points conversion was not any good. It was 16-6 with 8 minutes and 19 seconds to go in the third. Then Francisco Automatico Torado, once again, he hits another 31-yard field goal. I didn't write it down, but they led it with 4 minutes and 7 seconds to go in the third, 19-6. Then in the fourth, with 11:51 to go, there's a 6-yard touchdown run by number 13, Scott Littrell. The extra point was good. Decatur led Coleman at that point 26-6. And then with 44 seconds to go in the game, quarterback sneak up the middle, goes for 79 yards for number 12, Griffin McCollum. And Decatur was leading at that point 33-16. You think, hey, 44 seconds, game's over. Uh-uh. Here it comes, 24 and a half seconds to go, number 8. Lane Donaldson goes on a 74-yard touchdown pass. Matthew Bell's extra point was good. That's where the scoring stopped tonight. Decatur wins 33-13. Now, with this win, Decatur's going to move to 5-1 in the region. They're going to move to 7-2 overall. Coleman's going to fall to 2-3 in the region, and they're going to be 4-4 overall. So it's going to take some doing because it looks like Hartzell's going to fall tonight to Florence. If that score holds up that we've announced earlier, they will be 2-3 in the region, but their overall, they hold that tiebreaker over Coleman with a head-to-head victory, and their overall record will be 5-3. So we'll see how the scores turn out for the rest of the 6A Region 8 football standings, but Florence with the commanding lead, they're 4-0 in the region. They're going to be probably looking to move to 6-2 tonight if they can hold on and knock off Hartzell. And then at the bottom of the poll, you've got Athens. They're 1-4 in the region, and Austin 0-5. But Austin right now leading Athens at home, or at Athens, 10-3.
Well, and Austin still has a couple more region games left. They can be the spoiler who can help the Bearcats get into the playoffs. We've got to have some help now for the Bearcats if they want to make their 10th straight playoff appearance. And that'll have to begin next week with the Bearcats taking care of business at Muscle Shoals, and then they're also going to have to get some help. We'll be on the air next week at 6:40 from Muscle Shoals as the Bearcats take on the Trojans in their final region game of the 2014 season. Jason and I will be on the air at 6:40 next Friday night. For Jason Coretti, I'm Tommy Warhurst saying so long, and thanks for listening to Friday Night Live on Coleman's Live 95. Your final score, the Decatur Red Raiders 33 and the Coleman Bearcats 13. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part each and every week by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, by Simon Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissor Salon, Fuller Optical,
A.K. Reynolds, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Garetti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware. So long, everybody. We'll talk to you next week for Muscle Shoals as the Bearcats take on the Trojans on Friday Night Live here on Cullman's Live 95.
We're the all-new Live 95, WRJM-LP, Cullman. WRJM-LP, Cullman.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800. It's Odin's Auto Glass.
Scissors Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday. 734-6006. That's Scissors.
Southern man don't need him around anyhow. If you're hearing REM on the radio in Cullman, Alabama, you must be listening to Live 95, Cullman's independent radio.